Entonces, my aparatito de selfish representativo, la gente presiona la decisión. But I think it was agreed on the meeting. So let's take it that every Friday we are going to the meeting until open otherwise.
Okay.
I think that's the attitude that we should be having. For us.
Okay.
Now then. Okay, remember. The last one,
which is the main thing that we are here today, was to meet the demand. But I've just been informed now
by the secretary that the department is not late. They had a document that they were going to present to us on things that we had asked them to present. But they've just conducted the secretary saying that they are not ready, they've changed that document, they're putting up another document. We don't know how long it's going to take for them to finish the new document. Now, I presume what we should be discussing, should we be waiting for them, or should we go and do other things? My father wants us to discuss, because they are not ready.
When are they going to be ready?
When I was talking to the secretary, they just said they are busy working on that document. They don't know where they are going.
Can I just say that I want to request that you, on behalf of the committee, express our disappointment. Because it makes me wonder that you've got director generals, high-paid officials, and this is basic information you're requesting. If they don't have this information available at their disposal, that means, that tells you that there's a serious problem in this problem. A serious problem. If they themselves don't know what the audit of infrastructure is, human resource plan, and they don't have it in a file or on somebody's desk, we know where the problem is in this problem. And I think you must express the disappointment that they even waited until the very last minute to tell you that this is the position. At least they could have the decency to advise you at least 24 hours or 48 hours in advance, give you an opportunity to be able to decide whether or not you want to call the
decision. And in fact, I think we had said to the department that we wanted that document 2 days before the meeting, and we should have got those documents 2 days before the meeting.
Well, we dropped something.
You are asking me?
Yeah. I'm shocked, first of all. I think it's an insult to this committee. They were invited well over a week ago, if I remember correctly. In fact, I think a fortnight ago. They had a fortnight to prepare. They are here at the moment. They came down to Skopje yesterday, where they got a bit of a grilling, I believe. Are they here? Are they ready?
I don't know.
But in any event, the fact that they're not prepared for a meeting, a portfolio committee meeting, it just shows the disrespect they have for this committee and parliament and the institution. And I think you've got to take a firm stand with them. It is unacceptable.
No. Okay, maybe can you do it this way? We were discussing this department because we've just been told that you were not ready. That's the information that we got. So maybe if you could just allow us 5 minutes to finish up what we're discussing and then I'm going to call it. Now that's it. Are you ready now?
No, we have to see the interview is not coming by 30.
By who?
By parliamentary liaison officer. Because I thought it was a bit unusual because it's normally 9 o'clock.
Mm.
And we were here at 8 o'clock in the morning. We were waiting. 9:30.
Okay. That's fine.
Suggesting that perhaps we can look into this as to what happened at an rather than now this in our family.
Yes, yeah, that's the end of the thing. So they are here and they are ready to fight. Okay, man,
maybe to just echo what Maman said to them, so you're saying that they have been told who that license office, and they have to even tell us how have they been communicating with this portfolio at the end of the day, because we cannot accept it. The president has said that this year is the year of action, and we want to see the signs of action in people. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, because the committee has agreed that the documents were also supposed to be given to us even 17 prior, we need to check, because we are just going to listen to what they are saying, because people are not ready, because the documents were not sent before. What was the reason behind that?
Okay. Can we agree? I'm just trying to summarize. Can we agree that now that they are here and they are ready, let's see them? But there's still that part that we said we wanted documents 2 days before the meeting. But they are saying they are ready, we can get documents. So let's just allow them to present to us, and then we'll interrogate them.
Okay.
Can we agree on that?
Okay, we really get a key on that. But I just want to mention, the personal case is wrong to mention. Contact the secretary. Because the person is wrong to mention about the readiness. And we want to make a further decision.
Yeah, thank you. Well, what we're going to be doing, we're going to investigate what has actually happened. We're thinking the wrong information, but we're not going to do it now. Let's call them in now and let's continue, but we're going to make sure that after. You can call them in.
Can we move on?
Mama, how are you?
She's got a problem. She was mismanaged one of your hospitals.
on the other side, so with Umam Ulchut, who's a member of the committee. Then we've got somebody with a red tie. Next day we'll say, the member of the committee, we've got Undade Khanari, we've got Umam Kenya, we've got Mike Waters, we've got Memore, we've got Mensahwale Desai. Beyond her, that's why. Beyond the Numa Munsein. Okay. Now, those are the members. We've got a researcher for the committee who's sitting here with us next to Uma Muntun. Myself, I'm Vivian Bokwana. I'm the member of the committee. Next to me is the secretary for the committee. For your guys. I'm hoping that you do the same and tell us who you are, what are your positions, and then you can check on
Thanks very much, Chief. Once again, let me apologize for my failure to communication around the time. Because that indicates me here at 8 o'clock. I'm Kevin Chetty, the acting DG for health. On my left is Mr. Tiny Remy, who's the acting CFO and Deputy Director General for Corporate Services. Next to her is Mr. Lani Masalele, who's the Chief Director for Strategic Planning. Next to him is Dr. Toby Mengashe, who's the Chief Director for HIV and AIDS. And next to him is Mr. Johannes Cutler, who's our Parliamentary Liaison.
Okay, we would ask you to do the present. The letter that was sent to you, which I've got a copy in front of me, we wanted to know the audit of the infrastructure first. And there was a specific reason why there was an interest on the audit of the infrastructure. I'm hoping that you're going to be giving us that. The interest is basically related to the fact that there has been some other spending in that one. So we wanted to be clear of where it comes from, and we have put it as number one, and then the others we're going to follow. I'm not sure whether you're going to do that, because we wanted the infrastructure, the audit of the infrastructure first, and then we go on to the other things. In the letters, by the way, I'm not sure whether you received the letter that we have, because it talks about 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock. I'm not sure whether you have the same copy, because I'm quite impressed. But we're not going to discuss this now, because I'm quite impressed. Okay, let's give over to you.
Thank you, Chair. The letter that we received outlines a number of different areas. What we've done is we've just prepared for each one of those different sections detail. But as you said, we have about 15 slides here, so we're not going to go through all of the slides. Just cover the main issues. And I'd like to just be guided by yourself, Chair, because a lot of the stuff will also be covered in the strategic plan, which we've got hearings on next week, I understand. And with that, there's been a request that the minister presents before his budget speech the strategic plan to the committee. So I'd just like to be guided by yourselves, because I wouldn't want to be covering anything that's going to be covered next week. Specifically on the infrastructure.
Maybe let's make a comment. We wanted to hear about this thing, because we're going to be dealing with budget. And as you know, we've got, as Parliament now, we can sort of suggest certain things and actually say, why don't you put this money in that area? Now, this is why our worry was mainly around the infrastructure and the understanding. That's why we wanted to start there, so that we can know the audit. Whether we know the quality, what happens in those institutions,
but you wanted to know the audit of the infrastructure and probably interrogate you on the understanding that has happened while we are preparing for the budget, for discussing the budget with you. We know there's going to be a strategic plan, but we wanted, by the time we get to the strategic plan, we wanted to be sure of what's going on in the department so that we can interrogate that strategic plan with some hand, with some knowledge. This is why we wanted it that way.
I didn't realize that he specifically wanted to look at the budget for the audit of the infrastructure, and said what he had done is prepare a presentation telling you what's going to be done.
No, we're not looking at the budget, but we are saying because there is understanding in that.
Yes.
So we wanted to know the audit of the infrastructure, so that not really talking about the budget.
Okay, but in the meantime, what I'm trying to do is to pull out the slides just to give you an indication of where the understanding has been in the revitalization, but I'm sure you want to get those figures. Okay. Would you like me to, because then what I would need to do is just...
I don't think we're together, Jim, I'm not sure. We want the audit of the infrastructure. Obviously, that will go with some of the money, not the money only. And the reason we wanted the audit is because there's been some understanding in the infrastructure. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, that came up the audit.
Because you see, the audit we're currently conducting, that's where the problem is. There's been a previous audit done about 10 years ago, which the BIOS gave us a state of the various controversies. And what we're doing now is updating that order. But what I can give you is an indication of which hospitals are currently infrastructure, where we are, what stages we are with regards to that. And give you an idea then of where the understanding is.
Yeah, no, I'm going to give over to you members probably to discuss. Maybe I'm not putting it right. But this is our interest in infrastructure. There are two reasons why we're interested. One reason we're interested because we noticed that there was some understanding in the infrastructure. While people are complaining that our hospitals are in a bad shape. Now we wanted to have an audit so that we know that this understanding, why understand where there's a problem. The second reason is that when there is a talk, though I don't want us to discuss it here, when there's a talk of national health insurance, there is something that says we are going to upgrade our the public hospitals to a situation that they can compete with the private hospitals, if I'm putting it right. Now, for us to be able to argue or talk on NHI, we need to know what is actually going on in our hospitals. We need to have an audit as these members. Then we can argue. This is why we said, if you look at our letter, it says the audit of infrastructure. And it's deliberate that we started with it. That's what we wanted before anything. Now, if they're telling us that the audit is still being done, we were expecting that you were going to tell us, because I think this letter went to you, long ago. You're going to tell us that the audit is still being done. This is time that we're going to tell you. Now, it's a surprise to us. And in any case, we had said in the previous meeting, probably because it was the other head of department, we had said that when we are going to have a meeting, we are interested in having the documents at least 2 days before we have a meeting so that we can look through them. We can't read these documents now. And you can teach us, you can do whatever you want to do, because we're seeing it for the first time. Whereas if we had looked at it 2 days before, at least we'd know what questions to ask. But now we're not getting them here, it becomes very difficult for us. Now, even that audit would have known 2 days ago that the audit is not going to be there. But now we are telling us that the audit is still being done. Let me give over to the members so that they can understand. Okay, I think it was Mr. Hussein and then you.
Chair, I think you have explained it quite clearly. I mean, I understand exactly what you said. I don't think the department is ready to present that information. I think that's the bottom line. The acting DJ made it clear the last audit that was done was 10 years ago, which is a shocker to me, obviously. Because as members of parliament, you often get complaints from people. They phone you and they're in a hospital and they say, my daughter doesn't have a bed, but she's critically ill. And these are the type of problems that you get. And you literally have to hold your head and say, what do you actually do? Because when you speak to the superintendent of the hospital, they would say, well, we've raised these things with the department for a number of years and nothing has happened. And it's clear now that the department only knows what we have in our hospitals 10 years ago. So I actually can't find the words to describe how I feel about that response that I received from the news. If I was the head of a department, I would want to know every single year how many beds there are, what is the total infrastructure, where is the shortages, because if you don't have that information, there's just no way you're going to be able to plan to provide an effective quality service to the people who receive it. It's impossible. You're not going to be able to do it. So the department doesn't have that information. My suggestion would be, if I was responsible for them, send them right back to where they are, and what do is bring the information back. Because without that, there's no way you can operate.
I think already it's not yet been said. I think the reality of the situation now is that the department did not get the letter or whatever has happened there. Again, I go back to the issue of communication. I don't know, I want to leave it like that. But the letter which was telling them exactly what to expect of them. So I need to look into that again, Yogan. But also, just to emphasize, really, the issue of getting documents when we sit here is a very serious thing. And we have been talking about this for many years. Not just today. I'm sure Dr. Chetty has had this before, many, many times before, that the committee always asks that we get the document at least 2 days before and all that. And it's not happening. I can't, for the good of me, I can't understand why it is not happening. And I think we should make a serious point that it should begin to happen. Now, so on that one, I just want to add that if that were the case, that was being observed by the department, and I really think it goes with just showing respect for the community and how things are done, then as the chair has already said, if that was happening, he would have browsed through and seen that something is amiss here, and then there was communication. We would be wasting this time. But all said and done, Chair, I think that perhaps now we do what we can, you know, because, sorry, to send the department away now, we've got to see the game of, this money they take here and all that kind of thing, and our time is here. As Dr. Chetty has already explained, that will come, as another point. So I think that we are here now where we are. Let's make the best of the situation and get on with the work of the
constitution. I don't know who came first, but I'll start with him that I had another go down and see the memoir.
I think we have got to come to the defense of the, because in this confusion about correspondence and communication, there is no problem with the committee secretary. I've attended some portfolio committees where they said less about the secretary. But our secretary has been immaculate, to say the name, in terms of their coordination, and we have got to be able to say so. Particularly because the letter states very clear. Either the department did not reject the letter, or they did not read the letter. And if they did not get the letter, you can investigate about where the letter went. But if they received the letter and they did not read it, it indicates about their attitude towards the committee. I mean, it's clearly disrespectful to the committee to say you don't take the figure. And it indicates, if they read the letter states specifically what we want from them. they decide to give us their standard presentation. I mean, they say, oh, they want the presentation. Let us give them what we usually give. Give them, not in the manner in which they put it, but in the manner in which we want them put. I have got to disagree with Honorable Lincoln about listening to this, because we are not going to get information of what we want. We are going to get the information of what the department wants. And what am I going to do with the information which they want? Why do they want to give us the information they want, not the information we want? Because it is actually changing the agenda of the committee, the portfolio committee, that the agenda is like this, and the department comes and says, that's the wrong agenda. This is the agenda we want you to follow.
Thank you, I suppose that we will... before you, Mama Kenya, can I give...
I just need to correct the impression of compliment. Okay. We received the letter. We went out of our way to capture every single point in the letter. We started off with the audit of infrastructure. Our understanding of the audit of infrastructure was that you were talking about the state of repair or disrepair of the building of our hospital, so it's the maintenance and when they need to be in place. And that's what we have looked at. The audit of the question of the number of hospitals that we have, the number of hospital beds, the number of staff in those hospitals, that information we deal with on a regular basis. We've got all of that information. We've got updated information on an annual basis. We're dealing with service transformation plans, integrated health planning framework in order to look at the planning as to how many beds we have in the future, what should be the staffing with regard to that. So if that's the understanding of audit, we can talk around that. But what I've commented on specifically was the engineers been looking at our hospitals and saying, what's the state of maintenance of the hospitals, what needs to be referred. So that was the understanding. Every single point on that letter has been individually dealt with in the presentation. So this presentation is not our normal presentation. It's a presentation that has been specially done according to that list. So we have been asked to comment on the audit of infrastructure, been asked to comment on the human resource plans and some specific items within the human resource plan. We've been asked to comment on the 10-point plan. We've been asked to comment on the strategic framework and the health outcomes. We've been asked to also comment on the revitalization of infrastructure, and we've been asked to comment on maternal and child health specifically, and then the quality issues around the accreditation body. So you see, this is not a standard presentation. We've done it specifically according to the question and our understanding of the question, and I want to show members that we take the committee very seriously. I'll take full responsibility with regard to the question of time, but I mean, I've never been late to a portfolio committee meeting, Chair, and we respect the portfolio committee, but as I said, I'll take responsibility because we've got three hearings this week, and I think that may be the reason for part of the confusion, not the section of the Secretariat. But Chair, I mean, seriously, we've worked on this presentation, pointing to the topics that we've had, even though we felt a bit uncomfortable with preempting our discussions next week, we tailor-made it for this meeting.
You must be willing of the fact that sometimes the shorter you ask to report, the better, because the more you try and discuss, the more you bring other questions. Now, the question that is coming is that if you read the letter, why didn't you pick up the 9 o'clock? And the second one is that if you read the letter and you thought that this is what the committee meant, because all of us were not English speaking, why was it not easy to pick up a phone and ask, what do you mean by this? So that the committee can explain. Now, you're putting yourself into more problems by trying to explain. So, for me, it would be better that we just let the members discuss and then we finish and we see what we do.
Thank you, Sir Patrick. I think for purpose sake, yes, we are going to have law enforcement content, which is worse when, and some of the questions have been asked by my colleagues, but it is worse when now, but the shocking 10 years really, this makes us begin to say, this is active, but turning over was given 10 years for a 10-year term, which has lapsed. Now you start to begin, how are we going to say that we are going to revitalize infrastructure according to the 10-point plan issues, if we say that we have got no audit at the end of the day to revitalize those, is to check what they want and then to give less. How can we give less if you've got no audit? Really, it comes, it is really a concern to us, noting that there is also this 10-year term audit which we don't understand. Thank you.
I'm not one to defend the Department of Health by any means, but I think you're shooting the messenger here. We have an acting DG who's just taken over. We had a previous DG who was there for nearly 10 years himself, who has just been promoted to High Commissioner of Malaysia, for doing a wonderful job. And I said that with tongue in cheek. So, the person who we should be having a go at isn't here. He's off to Malaysia, being promoted. So, I think we were just putting into perspective.
Yes,
we're all shocked that it's only once every 10 years the audit is done. I mean, and it's something we can raise, and hopefully the department has heard the concerns of the committee and will do it more frequently. And maybe we should be asking for the audit report once every year. On the infrastructure, something we can put down on our program. But what I would suggest, because I have gone through this very briefly just to see if most of the points that are raised, and most of them are. The only one I couldn't find was MCC, but maybe I've missed that because I was going through quickly. I'm not saying it's not yet. But I would suggest, Chair, to save time, because it's nearly 10 o'clock now, that we start with the presentation.
Basically,
I've just checked now. Everything is there except the audit of the infrastructure. So maybe we can go on with the other topics that we had, and then we'll decide whether we have another meeting where we get that presentation or.
Let's ask you, Department, to go on with your presentation.
Chair, we know that what governs us is the ten-point plan of the health sector, and you've taken through all of these 10 points. I'm not going to go into details around that. The next slide, please. Okay, so we've given you progress with regards to the implementation of the 10-point plan as we have requested. And the first one is the progress around strategic leadership and the creation of a social compact within the LPA. The issues around governance have been strengthened through the National Health Council, which is led by the Prime Minister. And the focus has been on three key areas. That's first, unifying the entire health system on a common set of goals. And the 10-point plan has been widely disseminated in order to get the entire health system to look at this. The second focus has been around the greatest stewardship of the Ministry of Health over the entire health system, both public and private, and to ensure that key policies and decisions were agreed to. And again, you'll get more details around the new policies that we develop. What we are looking at in the future plan, and Chair, again I'm emphasizing, I'm sorry, I see that the plan has been confused, but if you can see the minister seems to be the one to discuss this in detail, so I'm making it uncomfortable in case it gets discussed before the minister can announce the chair. So because I was going to say, yes, it'll be next week, so I just don't want to preempt it, especially since I see command in here, so if you can just see it will officially be done next week. Okay. So you have to table it to your chair. Yes, but I mean, we know also we had a deadline which to give it to you, so we've met that deadline. But I just don't want to preempt any sort of the further discussion. So part of the plan is this financial year, the 2010-2011 financial year, the National Consultative Health Forum that will be convened, which will bring together various role players, and Chair, it's taken for granted that the portfolio committee will be included, so if you don't see a name there, it will be both the select and portfolio committee. And what we're looking at is a social compact in order to improve health outcomes. So that will happen over the during the next financial year. The next area, and I'm going quite quickly through the 10-point plan, but I think we'll see here about those other specific areas, is the National Health Insurance. Again, you know that there have been a ministerial advisory committee that has been established. There is a support unit within the department. The minister has announced that the policy will be finalized, public consultations will be conducted, and then you go through the necessary process, of course, with actually the policy framework, and before we introduce the NHI legislation, and of course, you'll be the oversight body to look at that. The next area in the 10-point plan is improving the quality of health services. Again, the legislative mandate comes through the National Health Act, and the National Health Act has established the Office of Standards Compliance. The Office of Standards Compliance envisages also, the National Health Act also envisages that we have designated health officers which will inspect all health establishments according to the National Health Act. This has to be done every 3 years, both for the public and the private. The National Health Act also establishes what we call provincial inspectors, which also conduct monitoring inspections and recommendations on health services. There are other functions of the Office of Standards Compliance, and that is to advise the minister on quality issues and on standards and norms for the health service. We all know that the quality of health services is a key priority for government, and this is also mentioned in the presidency's green paper on performance monitoring. I'm going to cover then that section that you asked us around the, I'm covering it under the 10-point plan. So, some of the areas of concern we've had with the quality of health services has been the issue of the lack of standardization of care with poor outcomes, the lack of accountability for the delivery of care and the use of resources, the inadequacy of skills and the lack of responsiveness. Some of the issues that we've looked at from the health sector is related to the question of ethics and values and the leadership role that needs to be played, looking at the issue around enhancing accountability in the public and private sector and holding managers accountable for a defined set of standards, and then the key issue around developing capacity and skills. The next slide gives you an outline of the components of the National Quality Program, where we look at national standards and norms get developed, and this has already been done, that there's accreditation against those national standards and norms. And the important aspect then is that it doesn't just stand there with regard to the accreditation, that we look at quality improvement plans for all of the facilities. It comes an iterative process because we then start the cycle again and then we go back to our standards, look at whether there's further improvement around the accreditation. So there's a lot of work that has been done. In the next slide, talks to some of the work that we've been done, that we have done. So we've developed national core standards. We tested that in 27 hospitals. We then went back to the core standards, have revised it, and at the moment we are in the process. I'm not going to go through all of these details. You have got that in your handout. But we've revised those core standards, and we will be piloting again those revised core standards, so that it becomes a developmental process. Can we go to the next slide? Just to mention, in the core standards, and again, I hope that the booklet has been distributed to. Okay, Chair, I'll make sure that you get at least the one that we've, not the revised one, because that's still being piloted, but there is a green booklet with all of the core standards. I had asked for it to be sent through, so I'll check on that. Our Chief Director for Office of Standards Compliance will be attending, Chair, but should come in yet. The seven domains that we use for the core standards, it's on slide 12. Okay, it's around safety, clinical governance and care. It's around patients' rights. Then it's clinical support system. There's a domain we call public health. There's a domain around leadership and corporate services. And then a domain around operational management and then facilities and infrastructure. Against these standards, when you drill down into the standards, you've got a number of different areas, and the booklet will show you. So there's a number of areas that we look at with safety, and then that will then, to the drill down further, there'll be further areas. And what we do with these standards is we go into the facilities, into every single clinical area, and we've assessed those hospitals and where they are. We give it a flag system of green, orange, or red. And so we would have information now on the hospitals that we've done as to where the problem areas are, right down to a sub-ward level. So that's what we would do. So within that, we would then also look at the facilities and infrastructure to look at the state of maintenance of what the facilities and to know. So this is done on an ongoing basis. So we'll give you more details, Chair, if you require it. But there's a lot of detail that has gone to these core standards. As I've told you, we've revised the two, and this revised two will now be piloted in March, and then it will be rolled out to the facilities. When we present the strategic plan, you'll see that there's detail as to how many facilities you're going to be doing over the next 3 years, okay, the percentage. So our intention is that we would do this and roll it out to all the facilities, not just hospitals, and we've got a detailed plan with regards to that. Chair, let me also clarify, and I know I got into trouble the last time I spoke too much, but this audit year, we say it serves as a basis for the audit of health facilities. So I just want to say that this audit is the audit around our core standards and the quality issues that gets rolled out, and you'll see exactly what we cover in the booklet that we will give you. It's not the audit of infrastructure, Chair, because that's much more technical, and that we treat as a separate. But again, let me correct the intention. It does cover certain standards around facilities and infrastructure, okay, and those details. Okay. The accreditation, the next slide. I hope the minister has announced. I think the minister has announced that we will be establishing a quality management and accreditation body, or the deputy minister has announced that, to function independently of the national and provincial departments. So this has already been announced. The National Health Act will be amended in order to facilitate the process, because the Act establishes the Office of Standards Compliance within the Department of Health. So that will be changed. And at the moment, the business case has been developed. The accreditation, we've spoken again, the next slide, please. There has been information, we've said accreditation will be linked to the issues around national health insurance. Within the National Health Act right now, there is licenses that will be required for all of the facilities. Again, it will be for all health facilities. Next slide, please. Just also to mention, Chair, because you asked specifically around our quality improvement program. There's six areas that have been identified as priority areas in order to fast-track improvement. The first one, and we put this quite high up, is the attitude of staff. So the first area that the priority area is focusing on positive and caring values and attitudes of staff. The second area is priority area for fast tracking. So we're pulling it out from all of the others, is the reduction in waiting time. And there's also a number of areas that we said in the issue around administration, assessment, diagnostic, and pharmacy. The third area is the cleanliness, and we're saying the bottom line, every health facility is going to be clean. The fourth area is around patient safety. The fifth area is around infection prevention and control. and specifically if the focus on healthcare acquired infection. And then the sixth area is the availability of medicines and supplies to ensure that all essential drugs and supplies are available at the point of care. Okay. The future plan, so you have given your figures to check. The future plan, we pulled this out from the strategic plan, so we'll be repeating it next week, check. Is in 2010-11, we've been targeting 20% of all our public health facilities, not just hospitals. And we want all our facilities to comply with quality standards, and that you will see it's phased in, and that will increase to 90% by 2012-2013. We also said that 50% of the health facilities will produce and improve and implement the quality improvement plan, and that will increase by 70%. There are other areas related to that around supervision. The minister will speak a lot more around integration, around prevention of mother to child transfusion together with the antenatal services. There's the hospital improvement plan, and there is a little bit more detail on the issue of the skills and competencies of senior health managers. Over and above that, Chair, there's also the issue of patient satisfaction and the issue around complaints. And if you know that the presidential hotline has been set up to receive a number of complaints, that comes through to all the various departments. Over and above that, we also have a similar system within the Department of Health. And again, Chair, if we can discuss more of those details next week around the patient complaint system and the health line and how we can deal with that. Chair, the next aspect around the 10-point plan is overhauling the health system and improving its management. The two focus areas here is around the functionality and management of the health system and the revitalization of primary health care. And whilst you've asked us to comment on this separately, we put it together under this point. One of the areas that we've looked at is the hospital management and training of hospital CEOs. And 220 hospital CEOs have enrolled in the hospital management training program at Fitz University and at Women in Health. The program that has been designed together with the French government because they've got a school of hospital management in France, and we're conducting it through Vitz and Continental Health. So it's an accredited course if possible, or all these requirements. The minister has also announced that together with the Development Bank of South Africa, there's going to be an assessment rolled out over the next 2 months or so that will look at the skills and competencies of hospital CEOs, senior hospital managers, and district managers. The other area that we're looking at around improvement of quality of health services, because of our concern with the fact that a number of provincial, there's only one provincial health department got an unqualified audit or this opinion at the end of 2008-2009. So we put a budget proposal through to the National Treasury, and we have obtained funding in order to set up within the National Department of Health a cluster that's going to deal with financial management improvement and support to all the provinces, including the tightening of the monitoring of conditional grants. I've signed an agreement with the Office of the Accountant General in the Treasury to provide, so together with Treasury, we'll be providing that financial support to all the problems. the next area relates to the revitalization of primary health care. One of our key priorities is to look at the strengthening of primary health care and the revitalization of primary health care. And the minister has reiterated the importance of us making sure that the primary health care approach is endorsed and is used. I'm not going to go into the details of the fact that we've adopted the district health system approach, but and where we are, just move on to the next slide, and how we deliver it, because I think members are well aware of our setup with clinics, health posts, etc. We've provided some detail as to the hours that are provided for primary health care facilities. But let me move on to the progress. The next slide. The total number of visits to the primary health care levels has increased by 10% between 2007 and 2008 and 2008-09. We provided you with details around some of the things that have been done, and again, Chair, I won't go into all of the details, but it is covered today, the various guidelines and handbooks that has been done, and the governance structures, though we're not too happy with the governance structures and clinic committees, and that's something that we do need to concentrate on. But the future plans, we're conducting an audit of primary health care facilities and package of essential services. The audit will focus on the infrastructure so that we're not just concentrating on the hospitals. So a similar audit is going to be done for our clinics in order to look at state of repair or disrepair and maintenance and where facilities need to be built. We're also going to look at the delivery aspects and the package of services that are being delivered at the primary health care facilities, and then also the human resources required in order to deliver that package of services. We've used that audit then in order to look at the delivery model of primary health care. And our intention is that we want to improve and expand access to and coverage of primary health care services. And one of the other issues that we have to look at is provincialization of personal primary health care services. And importantly, and we're hoping also with the assistance of the portfolio committees to improve the governance structures of those primary health care facilities, because we think that's extremely important in order to improve the social compact and get communities involved in primary health care. Chair, the next issue you asked us to look at is the review and refinement of the human resources for health plan. We're in the process of revising and updating the existing plan that commenced in 2009. In addition, there is a committee that's been between ourselves, the Department of Education and Treasury, in order to review the health sciences and the training of health professionals in various categories. This work has also been done in order to look at the funding issues of the training of health professionals. That work is ongoing, and we will be able to report to you once that work has been completed. We're also trying to ensure that all provinces have provincial human resources for health plans, and 8 of them have already produced this. Chris mentioned also that the committee that's reviewing the production of health professionals is also reviewing the use of the health professional training and development grant. The future plan with regards to human resource plan, there is a ministerial committee that will be set up to guide the development of the new human resources for health plan. And I've said that there's a lot of technical work, but also what we want to do is to look at the strengthening of the mid-level worker categories, including the clinical associate program and including the emergency care technician program, in order to strengthen service delivery. The next slide. There's ongoing work with regard to the occupation-specific dispensation, especially for the diagnostic and therapeutic and allied categories. I've mentioned already the hospital management training program. We've also said that policy and community health workers will be finalized and that the nursing strategy will be implemented in all of the provinces. And shared in the next area progress, the next area in the 10-point plan is the revitalization of infrastructure. So as I said, we together with Treasury are conducting a comprehensive national, what we're calling a national infrastructure plan. And what that entails is looking, well, firstly be reviewing the existing hospital revitalization and infrastructure grants. And against that, we then looking at all the other facilities that will need to be revitalized. And the revitalization has got three components. We've added on a fourth component. So basically it looks at the infrastructure, the physical infrastructure of the building, and if the hospital is in 50% state of disrepair, we say build a new hospital. It makes a better economic sense. And the hospital gets revitalized and modernized with regard to the infrastructure. Linked to that, we say it's no good just having a good outer shell, that you need to have it properly equipped. And so we look at the modernization of the equipment that's part of the program and as part of the whole grant. And then we say then you need to have proper organization and development, because you can't have bad management and say that the hospital is being revitalized. So we look at the staffing component, we look at the hospital management component, we look at the delegations, and that all gets added in. We've added the component of the quality of health services. So when we say the infrastructure plan, we talk in all of those components. So the process we're in is looking at the backlog of facilities right now that need major upgrades and minor repairs. And one of our key challenges is that whilst we're looking at the major infrastructure, we want to make sure that those that we are revitalizing, those existing, that there is a minimum set maintenance target of 3 to 5% of the infrastructure budget. And Chair, I've got the slide, but we've listed out all of the hospitals that have been revitalized, and then okay, it's in the estimated national expenditure. The print is too small for me to read. Okay. And then all of the hospitals that are included, and the details are given in the E&E document as to what's the total project cost, how much is going to be allocated for each of the different financial years, the new project, when planning will start, when planning will end, and when construction will start. So it gives you all of those details, whether it's in the design phase, whether it's in the construction phase. So there's 18, I'm just checking the total check. Chase, you can just indulge. Just some memory. There's 18 hospitals currently that's in the revitalization project. There's about 8 that have been completed. I can give you all of those details. I'm just putting it out. It's here in front of us. And then we've got, our intention was to add 2 a year, two per province per year. And then we've given you those details as to which are those structures. Over and above that, Chair, because we recognize the fact, and whilst we're repeating the orders, we're using the existing orders because you can't do it too often for the infrastructure. So we're utilizing that. But we recognize that it's going to take us a long time to finish all of the facilities. So we needed to look at how do we fast track it. And the President has announced that we're going to be looking at the use of public-private partnerships in order to fast track the implementation of revitalization. We've got an agreement together with Treasury and the Development Bank of South Africa in order to have these partnerships. I'm not going to make any announcements as to what the PPPs are. I think the President mentioned Tasmania that is one of them. But we're targeting 2 per province to be run through this PPP in the immediate future, but that will increase over time. At the same time, as I've already said, we can't just do hospitals. We're looking at the revitalization of primary level facilities. And linked to that is the recognition that we need to accelerate the delivery of health technology and ICT, information communication and technology infrastructure. All of that's been done. In the strategic plan, I don't know which page, we'll refer you to the page number where there's more details given around hospital revitalization. Page 88, 89. And in the E&E document, there's a full list of budgeted costs for each of the projects and the names of the hospitals. Here, the next areas around the HIV and AIDS, accelerated implementation of HIV and AIDS and the SPI National Strategic Plan, and the issue around TB and other communicable diseases. Again, there's the pillars of the National Strategic Plan: reduce the number of new infections by 50%, and then reduce the impact of HIV and AIDS by expanding access to treatment to 80% of the people living with HIV and AIDS. And we know the 4 priorities of the National Strategic Plan, the emphasis on prevention, and then treatment, care, and support, human rights, and access to justice, and then research, monitoring, and surveillance. Chair, there's been a number of announcements around access to ART treatment, and I've given you detail. There's been a number of announcements. We 493 accredited sites to provide ART treatment with 796 down referral sites. I'm not going to go through all of the details, Chair. We've spoken about the increase in ART coverage and the number of patients that need to be on treatment. We've got details around the number of children that would need to be on treatment. We've given targets with regards to mother-to-child transmission and reducing the rate from 30% to 10.6. We have the belief that no child should ever be born HIV positive. And the that's possible to achieve. I know internationally they say the 5% is it's almost the same as having in a 0%, but we think our target should be around 0%. So we've given you all of those details. We've given you details as to what the president announced on World AIDS Day, the fact that we're increasing access to special groups. We've given you details of the fact that TB and HIV co-infected people with CD4 counts of less than 350. ART children less than 1 year of age, regardless of the CD4 count. That's just re-emphasizing what has already been announced. Okay. And our chief director for HIV and AIDS is here, and we'll be able to take a lot more questions. So, in order to do that, and again, the minister I think will be announcing will be discussing this when he comes to your meeting. The healthcare provider initiated testing, the decentralization of ART treatments to primary healthcare facilities, the training and orientation of health workers is extremely important, and the issue around task sharing and nurse initiated treatments. But there's again been information that's provided on that. We're also looking at, we've noticed the enhanced HIV prevention, change behavior change through communication. We're targeting a number of high-risk groups with information, education, and communication. Increasing condom distribution and really focusing on some of those youth programs. We've given you details, Chair, of the conditional grant, how much extra we got, and how it was distributed. So all of that has been given. And maybe when we have a more detailed presentation on the national strategic plan, we can go into some of the issues around the challenges. But some of the challenges that we're trying to address is the late presentation of the patients. Coming with very low CD4 count, but with the increased thrust on testing, we're hoping that was going to sort out some of the issues of patients presenting very late. And then, of course, the other issues that generally relate to health systems around human resources, the infrastructure, issues around supply chain and financial management. Chair, then the next areas around mass mobilization. A national integrated health promotion strategy was produced in 2009. And we think that the area around the promoting of healthy lifestyles, we have got a very good program, but we think this is a program that we really need to strengthen. And we've had great success with regards to tobacco control, and we intend to increase our focus around issues around physical activity, nutrition, and importantly, again, the minister has announced issue around alcohol and substance abuse. But we will be making more announcements around that. Under this area, it's disjointed because we've put it under the accelerating progress towards the Millennium Development Goals. This is a major focus for the department. It forms part of our outcomes-based approach. And I'm not going to go into details, Chair, that will be. But the focus on reducing maternal deaths, and I think the minister has spoken around that. We've got the Millennium Development Goals, but when the minister presents the outcome-based approach that the president spoke about, there'll be a big major focus on maternal mortality. We have got the different ministerial committees on maternal mortality, on child mortality, and there's been a number of findings over the years. We are concerned that some of those recommendations were not adequately implemented, and our focus is going to be on very tight implementation of the recommendations there, especially with regards to some of the preventable deaths. And there's a whole task team that's addressing those issues. The other area, of course, and again, the minister will talk around this in much greater detail, is the morbidity and mortality of children under 5. And again, that's part of our development, that's part of our MDGs. And we're focusing on strengthening the community health worker program, the area around the integrated nutrition program, expanded program on immunization, and again, Chair, we're very concerned because you've been hearing in the news around the outbreak of measles here in Gauteng, now in Western Cape. We've got a major mass immunization campaign around measles that's planned for March, April. We asked Western Cape to bring forward their measles campaign because of the problems that we have there. So we're preparing a number of measles vaccines for that mass immunization. There's a whole program in order to strengthen the immunization coverage generally. So in Canada, it's measles and polio, not just measles alone. We've also got a campaign around H1N1. That will also be starting in April. But importantly, and it's mentioned elsewhere, but I'll just mention it now, I think we're the first country in the world to include as part of the EPI program the vaccine for prevention of pneumococcal disease, which is Prevnar, and also the vaccine for rotavirus, which causes diarrhea. And we will have the biggest program. So, and especially with regards to pneumococcal disease, the burden of pneumococcal disease on under 5 is huge globally, but also in South Africa. And I think we need to recognize that it's not just pneumonia, not just meningitis that you get from pneumococcus, but it's also the morbidity, because a lot of kids get it. Otitis media and get deaf and get disabled. So the vaccine itself has been able to reduce both that morbidity as well as mortality. And rotavirus also is a huge burden with regards to diarrhea. So those programs around immunization will be extremely important. And then I've spoken around the prevention of mother-to-child transmission. Our integrated management of childhood illnesses, IMCI, I think it's extremely important so that when you see a child, you're not just treating a particular symptom or problem, but you treat it as an integrated management. You're looking at developmental issues. So Chair, I've given you some of the areas that we're looking at under child five mortality, but the other critical areas are emergency referral and transport, because that's often been a problem. Especially between hospitals and facilities. I think we can skip the next slide. It gives you the recommendations around the Morbidity and Mortality Committee and some of the areas that we're looking at this. Okay, so I did cover quite a bit of that. Okay, Chair, just some of the other areas. I've spoken about the two new vaccines. What we're also looking at is the training of doctors in emergency obstetric intervention, and which has come out of the report. And the just the acceleration of the prevention of mother to child transmission plan. The issue around them, and I won't go into details, around postnatal care and the follow-up care has been a challenge. And that's another area that we're concentrating on, where we're putting out guidelines as to how many days postnatal care that people need to get. Okay. The next slide, Chair, I'm not going to go into details. There's more detail that's been given around our plans for maternal and child health, and I know that this is an area the Minister likes speaking to, so and he'll give you more details with regards to that, slide 41. Sorry, Chair, can I just mention the issue around contraception use and termination of pregnancy services. Again, this is an area that we'll be looking at in a lot of detail. The Minister has mentioned that family planning has been weakened, and that's an area that we need to strengthen. We're also concerned that the number of illegal abortions that are still being carried out. And we have planned to look at the CPOP and how we can and monitor it in order to get rid of the illegal abortions and how it can be strengthened. I'm trying to just go through much faster. The slide 42, I think I've covered most of those facilities. Except, let me also comment on the issue around school health policy. This is a program, again, that will be announced by the Minister, which will be extremely important because it will be targeting youth, and there will be more details given by the Minister. So, Chair, I'll skip to the next few slides and then go to slide 44. The review of the drug policy, the first draft was completed in 2009-10, and again, that review will be discussed, so it's still in the process within the department. So as soon as it is available, Chair, we'll be able to present that to you at the committee. There's been problems around the shortages of antiretroviral treatment and TB drugs, with problems of availability at the provincial depot, problems around the insufficient budget, logistical problems between the depots and the facilities, and these are problems that we have been dealing with in each of the provinces, just to make sure that we don't have stock out of those drugs. Our plans are that over the next 3 years, we want to improve our monitoring system for drug supply and management and ensure zero stock out rate for essential drugs, including TB and antiretroviral treatment. What I'd like to add here is the way we would differentiate this is life-threatening drugs. So also things, you know, whether it's insulin for diabetes or whether it's hypertension drugs. So there's a whole lot that we've identified, and we want to ensure that there's zero stock out of those drugs. There's also timelines that we've given you as to how the MCC will improve the registration process, and I'm not going to go through those details, but you've got some of those timelines. We're also looking at the implementation of the electronic document management system, which we will pilot first in order to improve the registration process. and the new medicine regulatory authority will be established to replace the current MCC. Now, I'm not sure whether I've satisfied all of the stuff around the MCC, Chair, but if there are further questions, we can take that. The next last area is the strengthening of research and development, and the South African Demographic and Health Survey, Chair, is extremely important. It gives us our targets for the Millennium Development Goals. We have got resource constraints, but we're busy working in order to try to resolve that so that we can complete the South African Demographic and Health Survey. Okay. And then some of the other surveys and research that we'll be delivering is entitled there. And then, Chair, the outcomes-based approach we've given to you in the last few slides, I won't go into detail, because again, I think this is what the Minister will be informing you in talks about the strategic plan. Except to say that there's four outcomes. So the outcomes-based approach, as the President has outlined, says these are the key outcomes that we'll be monitoring from the presidency, which is in health, it's increasing life expectancy, it's combating HIV and AIDS, it's decreasing the burden of disease from TB, and it's improving health system effectiveness. So out of that outcome, if you drill down again, you've got 20 outputs which we've given to you. And what we'll be presenting to you in the future is for each one of those outputs, there's a target and there's an implementation plan as to how we're going to achieve it. So it gives you a clear idea within the first year what we're hoping to achieve, and it says over the next 5 years as to what we're hoping to achieve. And for each one of that, there would be some where the implementation plan is still being drafted, but there's others where implementation plans have already been drafted. We'd have all of that with clear deliverables as to what we expecting. Okay, and all of those targets will also be given to you. So, Chair, that covers the points that get raised in the letter. As I said, there will be a number of areas that we'll cover when we're discussing the strategic plan. I will also ask, whilst we're waiting, is that we just put up that list from the E&E document on the hospitals that have been revitalized and are currently being revitalized, so you can see the names and the budgets attached to it. I'm not sure whether you'll be able to read the chair's very tiny print, but it will be there. So thank you, Chair. And as I said, we may not have adequately covered everything, but we committed that there are other areas that we need to cover.
No, thank you very much, Cindy. Remember, it's almost 11 o'clock, and we are going to 1 o'clock, so there's the report that has been served. But before we go into that, can I say that we as this member, we dump one honesty secretly of what is actually going on. And most unfortunately, most of us are new. We started there's a new administration. So we started last year. So we're still fairly new in health. Now, being fairly new in health, our interest is to know maybe where is health now, so that we can say we're going to convey it with the outcome that you talk about. Now, I cannot say that I want to decrease infant mortality when I don't know where it is now. Now, this is why this was our interest, but you tell us where are you, so that we are able to help. Basically, what we are here for is to assist you and tell you that, look, you better do it this way, or you better concentrate there because that's where the problem is. And in fact, I know part of our work is to pass the budget. And when we pass the budget, we need to be on your side and say, no, no, the budget that is given to us is small. So why don't you treat this way? Because there are different. But if we don't know those problems, then we're not going to be able to talk for you. And we're in a position to talk to the committee for treasury, committee for finance, and say, look, you are giving these people small money. And if you don't give us the information, we won't talk about it. And we want that honesty and that integrity. Because if we don't get an honesty, we're going to give a wrong information. I must say, you know, we are telling you. I don't think the chairperson of the former portfolio committee came to me and said, look, this is what's happening. I just took it as it is and I continue with it. And somebody comes to me and asks me, why are things not happening? And I've got to answer. So probably go for you too. You might be acting, but fortunately you were there. So we're going to be asking you. So they say when you buy a house, you take it foot to as it is. So even with you, if it so happens that the former, this is not normal, the one that we know, but you are there now, we're not going to call you from Malaysia and say, come and answer. But there must be somebody who's going to answer. So that's your point to understand. So I think we're going to interrupt you, but I think my interest, maybe the members might have a different thing. My interest was to know where are we in happening, so that we can interrogate even your strategic plan intelligence. But if we don't know where we are, yet we're talking about infant mortality, about outcomes, about HIV, reducing it by 2011 to 50%. We don't know which 50%. We must know it from the journals and from what we read, or because some of us are in the health profession. But we want to get it from you that in South Africa, we're here now, and this is what you want to do. That was the basis of this particular meeting, you know. But what I'm getting here, I'm not sure whether I'm right, I might be wrong. What we're getting the department telling us, this is what we're going to do, but we don't know where we are. We need to know where we are so that we can know where we're going. But we want to assist you. We are here to assist you. We must sound as if we're very harsh, we're very arrogant, or we're very silly, but sometimes we've got to be cruel to be kind. At the end of the day, these people asked us, and they're the ones who voted us into this position. So it's unlike you. When you apply, you say, I beg to apply. Ours, as we say to them, vote us because I'm going to improve your health. And they vote me. Now I'm here, I've got to make sure that they get a good health. So that's the difference. Otherwise, if they don't vote me, I won't have a salary. I'll have to go out and look for another job somewhere. And I don't think you'll take me as a doctor again. You fired me, now I'm already fired, so I can't be there. And remember, somebody's disturbing me. That is, we've got about 2 hours to go on this report. Okay, Mr. Watson?
Yes, thanks. Can we ask questions, please?
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, there's quite a lot of issues, so, I mean, I don't know if we're going to be jumping around, but I understand that the minister will be speaking to us next week, so I don't know. I'll have to leave it up to the officials what questions or, what kind of information you're going to give us. Because you say that you don't want to preempt what the minister is going to be talking to us, so, it's a bit of a difficult position, but yeah, we can start from the back. On slide 44 about the stock out of ARV in particular and budget, insufficient budget. Now, this seems to be an ongoing problem for all provinces around the country. I mean, we know that some provinces are billions of rands in the red as we speak before the end of this financial year. What is happening to sort out the finances of the provinces with the health department? Because what we find is they stop paying suppliers all over. I mean, I get people phoning all the time, desperate for money, and they say wait till the 1st of April when the new budget comes. So they're paying this current financial year's suppliers from next financial year. So the problem just keeps on increasing. It's like a snowball. So what is being done to ensure the province is getting enough money and that they allocate enough money in the long run? So we don't have suppliers not being paid and stockouts of drugs or medicines. The issue regarding the alcohol, the drug issue, I mean, when are we going to be seeing legislation, some sort of smoking legislation for alcohol, like advertising, etc.? And we know we have a huge problem in this country with fetal alcohol syndrome, and the amount of deaths on the road due to alcohol, and the cost of that on the health system, which is runs into billions of people. So when are we seeing that? And then while we're on there, I mean, Chair, because you just mentioned that most of the members here are new. When we did deal with the smoking legislation in the last Parliament, we were promised by the department that they would bring the regulations to this committee to discuss them. That was the previous CG promise. I know he's in Malaysia, but I mean, you know. But it was a promise by the previous DG, because there also seems to be confusion. I don't know if the new regulations enforced yet, but if you go out to a restaurant, some still have smoking sections outside and others don't. And we could get some clarity sometime on the smoking regulations. As far as the revitalization is concerned, the DA fully supports the private partnership initiatives, and something we've been calling for quite a while. But as far as the Health and Safety Act is concerned, that all buildings must adhere. I mean, how often are hospitals and clinics assessed for compliance with the Health and Safety Act as well? I know it's a different issue, but it's something that has to be compliant with. On page 26, you talk about the OSD issue. I mean, we've just heard, we read in the papers this last week that doctors are threatened to go on strike again because the OSD hasn't been paid out. Can you just maybe brief the committee on what is happening there and how negotiations are going to prevent them from going on strike? And as far as human resources is concerned, I must say, I personally would have expected to hear more about the reopening of nursing colleges, what's being done specifically about that, to increase the pool of nurses coming into the system, as well as doctors. How are we increasing the number of doctors being seen on a flat line now for about 15 years, and there doesn't seem to be much in improving the number of doctors. You haven't mentioned bringing the private sector. That's a huge resource that we could be using to train doctors. What are we doing about that? Just to let you know, the students in Cuba, they're forever writing to me about their living conditions. They send me photos of how filthy it is, their rooms, their bathrooms, and how they treat us. So just to let you know about that. And then the accreditation of these facilities. And the members can agree or disagree with me, but when we had the nursing council before us, the nursing council said they are expected to accredit all nursing training facilities, schools and colleges. They don't have the finances to do that, and they stopped doing it 5 years ago. In a parliamentary reply I received last week, it said that accreditation is carrying on by the nursing council. It said that there's 77 accreditation processes. That's according to the parliamentary reply I received, but the nursing council says they're not doing it. So if you can just give us some clarity on who is doing it, and if no one's doing it, why not? And then, Chair, I'm just trying to see. There are so many issues at this point. I've got another 10 minutes. Or maybe 10. Yeah, I've got another 10. Okay, thank you. Okay, I'll come back. Thank you.
I found that there's another question. I think it's the same, and then you.
The chairperson, I think,
must
arrange some overseas trip to Malaysia.
Yeah, we can ask.
I'm going to ask questions for clarity in terms of slides so that it becomes clear. On the
on the slide number 18, we talk about the improving the qualification generally of the hospital CEO. I just want to check, because the issue of qualification cannot necessarily replace ability to provide leadership, ensuring that hospitals are run efficiently, effectively. After they've got these qualifications, the process of trying to monitor that hospitals are run effectively and efficiently, and the issue of the unqualified body, it's a very interesting thing. But to me, the issue is whether patients are satisfied. And do we have any assessment to assess whether patients are satisfied, particularly with the services from provincial departments? On slide number 23, in terms of updating the National Human Resource, I just want to check, what is the role and contribution of the health system towards human resource development, in ensuring that all areas, don't tell me about leadership, it's an experiment which went horribly wrong. So I want something more concrete, increasing the actual human resource, real human resource, not the leadership being conducted by them. The issue of this threat of strike, and that's slide 26, the threat of strike by summer. It's not all provinces. There are several provinces which are facing this problem. Which are those particular problems, the problems which has not implemented the OSD? And what are the real reasons? There might be genuine reasons why there are problems, why they are unable to implement the agreement. And we can't just say that they are failing to implement. And under the public private, where politically where I come from, I'm very suspicious of, I've never seen private sector doing things because they believe it's nice. You know, they always do this because they want to make money out of it. There might be others, unfortunately, they might be suggested. But my own view is that we have got to be very cautious in the manner in which this is implemented. That because almost everything which has been privatized, I see the actual people who are supposed to benefit paying out of the roof, having problems, serious problems. So there might be, I know in the free state there are some, I don't know whether it's the real PDT, but actually know me and another hospital, there's something like so-called university. What lessons have we learned to ensure that as we go forward, if the government does not benefit, then it becomes real 50% benefit?
Thank you, Chair. I just have three quick ones. The first one is, I received some information from someone not very long ago about the issue of supply of female condoms, and that it was, if I recall correctly, that the tender was cancelled for some reason and there isn't any existing supply of female condoms. I'm not sure if that information is correct, but if you could just explain what's going on with that one. Chair, the second one quickly is I want to add my voice to the issue of alcohol abuse. You know, if you go to hospitals on weekends, you see how outpatients and the services, medical services are pretty tight. And a number of them are related to alcohol abuse. There was an interesting discussion this morning on SAFM by a lady from the UCT where a study that they conducted showed that on average every month 300 people in the Western Cape die because of alcohol abuse linked to violence. And that makes you wonder how much of the state that we are putting into trying to save these people's lives because of their social behavior. So I'm disappointed to see that, unless it's here and I haven't seen it, that more effort is not being put into preventative measures rather than coming up with a reactive plan to try and fix up these problems. But if we can change the behavior of people in in the country in terms of alcohol abuse and how it's linked to violence and how that impacts on our ability to deal with the burden of disease. I'm sure we will look. You will find that we're spending billions of rand just on cases related to violence, alcohol abuse, and all of that. Which leads me then to the next question, and that is, I always wondered why is it that, and perhaps it's being done, but I don't know, why is it the department doesn't recover costs related to incidents of violence and crime? For example, if I have to assault my good friend here next to me and he has to go to hospital and he gets treatment in a state hospital, it costs the country thousands of rand. Nobody comes after me to recover that money. And we must get our money back from those perpetrators of crime where we have to treat the victim of crime. Surely at some point we must say, why are we putting this money into the bottomless pit? So we could have used that money to have treated the burden of disease, HIV, AIDS, and everything else that we've got to deal with. So just those three. Thank you.
But before you go, Mansur, I think the next sentence is Mamore and Mansur. After that, you are going to the last one. After that, we'll have a short break. And then you can go and answer those. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. And thanks for the presentation. Now, first, I would like to raise what has concerned me since the President announced on this day, December 1, all those good things. You know, that are supposed to really help them and take HIV forward by this embargo to try and reduce the pandemic, the effect of the pandemic. Now, then what actually occupied my mind was, well, that is good, but can we got the human resource to implement even the infrastructure, because you know what we're saying there is that really we're going to expand the whole thing. Now, are we able to effect that promise? Because we need the expansion of the, we have to provide somewhere to provide the service, and we need the, you know, the human resource to, you know, to take the need to have that. So I've been battling with that I'm going to raise the question with you now. So that's a big one. And then the other one, which is also big in my own mind, my colleague here has alluded to this. Because again, as we were talking about HIV and how we're not succeeding really to bring it down, you know, from the prevention side, and we finding ourselves only curative, which we can't handle too much. Now, one of the things that one finds, because we live, you know, we live with the people, we know what's going on there. And for me, I was in I dealt with people, you know, and know what the main problem is. It's this alcohol. It's this alcohol, you know, and drug abuse. You know, it's the same substance abuse of one sort or another. It contributes so much to perpetuating things like, you know, all that, those infections, all that. People do not think of a condom when they are in those situations, you know, and prevention and all that. It's a good time. And once it's a good time, it rolls. The good time just rolls. Now, then I say to myself, why are we so stuck on trying to say we're preventing, when in fact the underlying cause, like alcohol and drug abuse, is obvious. It's obvious to every one of us that this contributes a lot to making our prevention progress safe. One of our things. Now, we tackled tobacco. you know, it takes a lot of courage and effort to go for these things. But now it's time we tackle the whole issue of alcohol and drug abuse very seriously, because even violence, you know, it's all related. Alcohol at the bottom of it all, alcohol abuse. And I really pray, I really want to appeal to the department to begin right now and deal with that issue. And I know that, you know, maybe it impacts also on, you know, as government we collect checks from all the activities, you know, checks and stuff. But I think that's a minor thing compared to even the checks we, you know, we collect when we raise taxes and all that. It's very little compared to the tax money that has gone to the curative side and the evils of it. Women back, violence and all that. So that is to me now, it's time we tackle this thing. And then it also goes with having to also say what also perpetuates this kind of behavior and all that. And I think that TV Act needs to be looked into, you know, which affect behavior in a big way. And so that is the one thing. So I tied all this to the other thing that concerns me very much, the human resource, the adequacy of. And I think that we can keep talking as much as we like. If we haven't got these things basically available, like the human resource thing, we're not going to get anywhere. And on page 17, I just thought that often acting DG, we sometimes, you know, perhaps make life difficult for ourselves. You know, when we really set ourselves targets, which, you know, are too high. Yeah, and then we put ourselves there for bashing. Media bashing and all those, you know, say that, but you promised and you haven't delivered. You promised this and you haven't delivered. So, you know, I look at, for instance, 2011, the Production and Cost Improvement Plan, and figure close to 70% by 2012, 2013. I'm just cautioning that maybe we need to, you know, to under. Under promise and over deliver, you know, and rather than set this target, that would be 10% per year or something like that. Per annum. Rather than tie ourselves into these knots that we, you know, we tend to do. So that is the other thing. Now on you touched on. Somebody has talked to PPP, so I will not go to that. But now on the on illegal abortion. Now, what contributes also, you know, to the fact what contributes to illegal abortion still being really a serious problem, which it shouldn't be now. It's the attitude. It's the attitude of the staff at delivery point. I mean, they can abuse. They can abuse and discourage people who come there, hopefully to have a safe abortion, because that's what we promised them. And then in the end, they go back to the, you know, to the backyard. So this matter of attitudes, of course, it relates even to the, you know, bigger issue of, to me, it is very important that we deal with the attitudes of caregivers, of self-caregivers. It is a serious, serious matter. These are things that we can do once, you know, all the big things are there. But these are things that people out there care about. how was treated when we get to hospital, and then they complain, and you feel to yourself that this is something that can be corrected. It doesn't require money. It doesn't require anything. We just have to make sure that caregivers have got the right attitude and the ethics and all that kind, and not sort of tied up with high costing programs, but just go for it. It doesn't cost money and all that, and we put it right. Now, I would like to know also a little bit more on what's the position around the ICT. I'm not quite sure what's going on there, but there seems to be something that, you know, one is just not clear about. In danger of taking, of monopolizing the time, I'll stop there, and perhaps hope that there'll be another round.
Thank you, Leather. In fact, I made a comment to the DJ that sometimes it's very good to be short, and you don't get a lot of questions. Don't open up yourself to a lot of questions. But I think it goes on for the members too. But if you are short to the point, they say brevity is the source of wisdom. So that's short to the point, and that will help us as well, very much. I think it's memoir and then medicine. Oh, I didn't see your hand, but you're going to come after them. Oh, oh. You're before them. Oh, okay. Sorry, memoir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the presentation. I think I have a problem with slide number 12 on starting the patient's right. You forget that on the 7 national cost standards, you always lift up particular principles, where also the patient's rights do touch on particular principles. Because when you look at in some of these cost standards, or in fact in the amalgamation, patients are not told anything. Lack of information, lack of consultation, lack of redressing even those problems, and also the value for money. Now we're talking about the audit, and I think the value for money also starts there from the particular principles. Maybe if you can just add, that is also a domain, because particular principles go hand in hand with that patient rights, and also people's rights also. On slide number 25, I think that, I'm sorry, the issue of community health workers, the policy, the bullet on policy on community health workers to be finalized, I think that is an urgent need, because those healthcare workers have got no policy, no benefits, and when they are infected, because most of them do go to those patients who are highly infectious and treat them in our community. They're handed with no facilities, with even no gloves to use. So that some of them even use the plastic checkers, plastic stuff to cover the hands. So really, I think there's a need for this policy to be finalized. Also on the issue of, I think again on slide number 32, the ARV sites. How often are we talking about these sites? Because even rural areas, there's a problem. They have to travel long distances to go to these sites, which are few, so they end up not taking the ARV, which is also a medical hazard for those patients. Because they have to travel the long distances, having no transport to go there. So really, if we can just make it as quick as possible to see that the sites are increased for these ARVs, for accessibility of the patients. Slide number 33 on HIV prevention, bullet number 3. Hey, I always like this female condom we always talk about. Now, my question is, in your research, or have you made a survey to check if people know how to use this female condom? Because according to what to the slide here, you see that only the male condoms have got a bigger percentage of use, and the female condoms are not a smaller percentage, because I think the reason is that they don't even know how to use these condoms, how to wear them. If you can also check if you've got any survey for that or research. in fact, on page 34, understanding in that case of all these provinces, almost all of them, I think the highest is 80 something, others the least is 70 something, understanding. Now, it goes to this question of bullets, four bullets in page 44. In page 44. Why do we say that we are going to insist? What is this? He says, understanding why the all four bullets are there in page 44. He says, understanding in bullets in the table of 34. There's understanding, but it is said that there are no financial constraints now, makes it uneasy for. On the review, yeah, for actually of antiretroviral drugs, and then all those stock not being available, drugs being not available, drugs being available at depot but no transport, insufficient budget at facility levels. Now you begin to ask yourself, why is there an understanding in that table if there can be this shortage of antiretroviral drugs in page 44? With all that spending, that is that all understanding in page 34. I think, lastly, my concern is now only on slide 48. Also, slide 48, okay, I think it goes hand in hand with that understanding also, because you've got 4.17, which says you are going to improve the healthcare financing. But if you can be monitoring, because it seems there's no proper monitoring, if you can say we are going to improve healthcare financing, but as there is much understanding, and also there's a lot also. If you can also check how the monitoring strategy is, what else can you do to monitor that there's no understanding strategy, so that there can be all these problems with these four bullets in page 44. I thank you, Chairperson, for the attention.
Thank you.
On page 15, I'll also try to be as brief as possible. The third point, reducing the total time patients must wait. How is the department going to do that? Because for me, this is a vicious cycle. The only way to do this is about resources, staffing, and all the other issues that we always talk about. So how are they going? Is there anything new that is coming from what we normally talk about? As I've already mentioned, the staffing, the resources, corruption is one of the things that actually impact on this patient waiting time. And then page 17, it talks about additional training for the hospital CEOs. I mean, what type of training, how do you appoint them if they need additional training? Just to give a brief, what type of training is there for hospital CEOs? Page 18, yeah, it also talks about hospital CEOs as well. There's two courses that are being offered at them. There's hospital management course, there's a master specifically for CEOs. So I'm not sure which one are you talking about here. And also there's nothing said about the primary healthcare management course that is offered. I mean, everybody go to these courses, managers of clinics, but nothing happens after this. In terms of monitoring and evaluation, to say, are they implementing as per training? And then it also says at the bottom that only one of nine provincial Department of Health obtained an unqualified. Which province is this? And then page 21, we talk about 10% increase in visits. I mean, visit by who? By yourself as a department in terms of doing your oversight, or visit by the patient? And in both cases, what is the implication of this? Is it good that there's an increase, maybe due to improvement of services, or is it good? Is it bad because it might mean that there's an increase in the burden of disease. And then page 25, HRH plan. To me, this plan is an attraction strategy. I just want to inquire. Most hospitals, including primary healthcare facilities, they don't have retention strategy. And it doesn't matter. You can have as enough employees as you can, but if you cannot retain the staff. I mean, for me, it's a vicious cycle again. We just doing one thing with no results. So I think we need to see most hospitals and primary healthcare facilities having a retention strategy. And I'm not sure if nationally we have a retention strategy, because the last time I checked, there wasn't one. But that was in 2006. There was no national retention strategy. I was still at Sisane Paragwana then, and then I was given the task to come up with a basic one. And then, yeah, the nursing colleges, Mike has touched on that in terms of the HRH plan, increasing the nurses in the fall. The issue of OSD, page 26, the allied OSD, this has been a song for so long. When is this? When is the signing happening? And what does it mean or imply in terms of the payment date? And maybe going back to the hospital field training, the number goes up, but honestly, who does the monitoring and evaluation after that, which is the same question I asked in terms of the clinic managers. Page 35, the challenges. Are there any plans in place to tackle these challenges? Page 35. I think that's all for now.
Thank you very much. Magister.
Thank you, Chapter. Maybe some of us have been singing from this hymn book. We know this hymn book. To me, it's like a hymn book. What I'm saying is now, how are we going to do things different? Because really, everything which has been here, if you can collect all the strategic plan, all whatever, it has been said. Now, what I want to know is, how are we going to do things different now to really improve this? Then another thing, page 12. I think, as we all know, the president has said that this year is the year of action. Now, if we are still going to say we are going to pilot, I'm having a very serious problem. Where you pilot an assessment tool, will be pilot. In the meantime, those who are not within the pilot, how are they going to deal with the issue? Why don't we just go a Big Ben approach? Then page 17. That is why I'm saying this. This is a hymn. It's like a hymn. Improving supervision. How are we going to do it? And Honorable Morey has said it, or is one of the honorable who said, improving supervision goes in hand in hand with resources. If there is no BP machine, there is no equipment in a clinic, how do I improve supervision? If I go there as a supervisor, what am I going to improve? Because there is no equipment. Then another thing is, how am I going to improve supervision? Because we know that the most thing which impacts on supervision is transport. When there is no transport and I'm having this thing, since that is why I'm saying it's like a hymn in a hymn book. We say improve supervision. How am I going to improve it? Then page 18. Improving the functional and management of the issue which Memory have just said, which talked about the CEO, the impact, because the people are going to school. And 200, it may be a very beautiful number. And out of how many? And what is the impact at the end of the day? Page 20, the issue of municipal clinics doing 8-5, it has been there even before the new dispensation. What are we saying? Because if a municipal clinic is there, we cannot be having another clinic which can do extended hours. We have been talking about this thing. And where is what we call functional integration, whereby the irrespective that provincialization hasn't taken place, we should be seeing functional integration between the provincial clinics and the municipal clinics. And finalization of provincialization. That is why I'm saying that this is really a son. Because we have been talking about provincialization, devolution of power. Nothing is happening. Now we finalize with every time we finalize. Page 28, whereby we are saying that we are going to reduce infection by 50% by 2011. When SADC is saying by 2015, are we going to really be able to do that? Have we already started? Because 2011 is next year, by the way. Are we really have started? And last chairperson, before that, people have been talking about female condoms. And some of us know from the horse's mouth that the female condom is uncomfortable. The woman says that condom is uncomfortable. What have we said about it? Or am I knowing where I'm sitting, but the department doesn't know? Because the people are complaining that this thing is uncomfortable. Honorable, can you say, do they know? But those who know, they say it's uncomfortable, it makes a lot of noise or whatever. Hmm? What are we doing about it at the end of the day? Because that is why the statistic of female condom, it is less. Because if it is having noise, and I'm using it, and I don't want the husband to know at the end of the day. It means a lot of women won't use condom because that condom, mm-hmm. because they are afraid at the end of the day. But I'm a bit disappointed because in this, because that is why I'm saying a hymn book, because it doesn't even entail any readiness of 2010 by the department. It is as though Department of Health, important as it is, it has forgotten about 2010. Like, when I'm sitting here as a member of parliament, I have to know how ready the department is and what was the plan, so that when I do my oversight, I must help to monitor. At the end of the day, chairperson, like you and me sitting here, we don't know if we are ready for 3 months to come to receive the people coming for 2010. And to me, that is a major oversight. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Member Fowler, I didn't even introduce you. I didn't see you that you're here. Can we agree that we give human progress to the last one, and then when we come back, we'll be the first one before the answer? Okay, Mama, the last one before we go.
What did I just say?
Hey, Chairperson, I don't know what you said, but I always say people must never mislead politicians or committees of parliament, because we are not monsters. We are here to help. Especially from the side of what you have said, that we are here mandated by our community to come and represent them. So if we are being misled by the department, people who are on daily basis working in offices, then we won't even know what is it that we must do to help. I'm here checking or talking about patients who always go to hospitals. I'm a bit worried about the attitude of officials towards health care in South Africa. We are dying, and nothing is being done, nothing is happening. Right now, there's a page 16, whereby they talk of positive caring. Number 2, reduce waiting. number 3 improvement for this age 15 and 16 actually the most, because this is what we don't get in hospitals.
Mm.
So if they say they are going to improve, how are they going to improve? Because we have millions and millions of people, starting from a cleaner to a professional or a specialized doctor in hospitals. These things does not appear in their minds. They don't even think about them. There's both there, written Ubuntu, but nothing. And I am young. There are old people who go there, wait in this queue from 5 o'clock up until 7 o'clock in the evening. And nobody will ever think, where is food? Can I give this old person food? Nurses don't care. How are they going to change this attitude? Because it's there. People can die. People are dying in front of nurses, doctors, because of this portion number one attitude. I just want to find out, how are they going to improve? Because we really need that improvement. Number two, I want to check with the department. Who has the mandate of changing a district hospital to a regional hospital? Because to me, since I came to Parliament, there are a lot of implications that lead to changing of one structure to another, more so if you are in a higher structure. We are told there are no nurses, there are no doctors, medication is not there, but there are other areas that can change a district, everything. I want to know how we need to. And as Member Kanye said, I was also worried about the budget, but because I'm not putting 1+1, I was going to ask somebody to explain, because the words up there tells me something, and the figures also tells me something. How do you understand, whereas there are so many things that are not happening in our own hospital? Why is it like this? I don't know. And also the training of CEOs. Are we saying the government has employed people who doesn't qualify to be in positions, so we must retrain them whilst we are paying them? Or we are saying we made a mess. Let's just get a clarity. How do we train them on duty, or what's gonna happen? And then the improvement, improve cleanliness. I know that there are people who are cleaning in hospitals, and as far as I know, they are employed by government. Are we saying they don't do our job as they are required to? Or are we saying because they don't do that, we need to do something, maybe try to outsource or improve their services, or because they are there, how do we improve the cleanliness in hospitals? I thank you, Chair. And unfortunately, let me just confirm what I said in the morning. Because I'm so sick and I'm so scared of this. I thought the day today to go to hospital. Unfortunately, tomorrow.
The sentence, we'll go for tea. Then when we come back, we'll only have member Mafole, Honorable Mafole, to ask a question, and then you'll answer. I'm still very much interested that if probably you were going to tell us where are you as a department, then it was going to be some of the questions, and tell us what you are going to do. That there's a problem here, this is what we're doing. The other one is that there's a lot of money that goes into health. It increases year by year. But when you look at the infant mortality, the maternal mortality is going another direction. Are we doing something wrong? This is what the department should be asking themselves. Are we doing something right or wrong? But let's go for tea and then we'll come back.
There's been quite a lot of questions.
I don't want anyone's questions to go over. Look, shouldn't we get a response from the department and then have a second round so the other members can also ask? Because I think there's so many questions that, you know, the department may inadvertently, not deliberately, overlook some of them.
Would you like to come on the next round?
Don't you think it's off?
You can't find them then. No, let's continue. I'm just worried about the debate because some of the people are going to answer and the ones who are not around.
Hello. Yeah. You're right, man. Yes.
So, can we should respect?
No, you're right. Let me call you after we are getting back into the meeting.
Let's go there again. Okay. We are going to be having answers from the department. I suspect, I don't know, but I think you can categorize and group them into groups because there are many, and then you answer them. I repeat that we are here to make sure that our country doesn't collapse in our hands. So we might sound as if we're very hard, but being hard is trying to make sure that things don't collapse in our hands. And because if the Department of Health is as is after 5 years, we are to blame too, as the committee. We are to blame. If I've listened properly to what was being said, most of the questions that were coming to you are actually things that need to be done in the provinces. But we are asking nationally, and don't tell us that this is supposed to be done in the provinces, but tell us how do you make sure that these things happen, because the service delivered is actually in the provinces. There was questions that fell onto the legal area, where we're talking about tobacco. But much as I want you to answer as a department, but I think as members, we should know that we've got the right of putting up laws too. We're in parliament. We can put up laws and ask the department to help us, but you need to answer. The next part, that is the next big category, is about attitude. And all these standards and everything is about the attitudes in our hospitals, the quality of care, and we need you to tell us what's happening. And the next big question is about finances. You know, the PPPs that we're talking about, and the fact that we're putting in a lot of money, but the outcomes don't look that good. I think you need to tell us, even the understanding that has been quoted, you need to tell us what's happening. There's a huge problem in human resources going on to the colleges. You need to tell us what's happening in that area. And I think there are other areas that we have never touched, like the College of Medicine, where they produce specialists over and above the doctors. We need to know what's happening in that particular era. Then there's this 2010 FIFA World Cup. We need to know what's going on. I know with the attitudes, I don't know, I saw Sunday Times, but I had already met this person. There's music even in the Eastern Cape, especially in my constituency in Coffee Bay. But there's a very young doctor who was actually staying there with the wife. In fact, the wife had music too. And they are staying there. I think the attitude of that doctor is very good, and he's in rural areas, and he wants to take that in those rural areas because there are people there. Maybe you should, when you talk about retaining people in those areas, you should talk to this doctor who's there. Happens to be the superintendent at the Tulele Hospital. I was very impressed with him when I met with him and talked to him. And he's actually built himself a house in rural areas. So maybe you should talk to him. Let's give over to you. But I still repeat the same point that if you have told us what is going on in the department, because as we are sitting here as members of parliament, our feeling is that things are not very good in the Department of Health as we move around in our constituencies. But we seem not to be getting an audit as to what's happening so that we can say this is what we're measuring ourselves against. But we're not getting that. We're getting what is going to be done, but we're not getting where are we so that we can do this. That one probably would need a day where you give us all the what is happening in health. Where are we? In fact, it would have been nice if we could do that before the strategic plan. But unfortunately, the strategic plan is going to be left. But we need to know where are we as Department of Health, and how are we going to correct the problems that we are perceiving. I know they're putting the rest of the doctor, but tell us, you can tell us.
Thank you very much, Chair, and honorable members. With the committee's permission, I'll go through the questions, but we've also got some of our chief directors here, so I'll just say which ones that they will cover. Some of them I will cover myself. Thank you.
You won't call Malaysia.
What's that? Who wants to be a millionaire? Call a friend line. let me just start off with the issue that you've raised around what is the current situation. I fully agree with you, Chair. The approach that's being used now, and this is the outcome-based approach, is and when we give you the details around that, basically starts off saying what is the current baseline value and what's the outcome that you want out of it, so that it's very clear over the 5 years. And in the strategic plan, Chair, there's details given in each one of these, which says what is the baseline, so that we've got something in which to measure, and then says how much do we intend to increase it, or what's the next target. So just to give you an example, Chair, the first issue in the outcomes base is to increase life expectancy. So we've got the baseline value of life expectancy, and sorry, I'm just going to be talking from memory now, but we've put it at 45 in the document, 45 in the document, and we said that we want to increase the life expectancy to 60, okay, within the next 5 years. So we go very clearly where we are right now and where we want to go. Infant mortality, which is child mortality under 5, we've put down a baseline value there to say that the child mortality is, we put it down as a figure between, 35 and 48. And then what and if we halve it, what the target would be. Maternal mortality, we in fact went for the higher ranges. We had said that the baseline at the moment is estimated with, if you have to take that's in our maternal mortality, the confidential inquiries. We got it at about 178 per 100,000. But with the some of the community-based and UNAIDS studies, it's between 400. So the UNAIDS has made it about 400 per 100,000 diapers, and another study puts it about 600. So in our document, we've got it between 400 and 600. We debated it, and then people said we need to halve it because of Millennium Development Goals. We said we're not satisfied with the target of halving it, because if our own stats shows it to be about the 178, and it's not morally wrong to say you know it would be okay to have 200 mothers of every 100,000 diamond childbirth, so we immediately we reduced it to less than 100, because we also said, again, morally, we don't want any mother to die during childbirth. You know, those are the targets. So very, very detailed checks in every single one. And then if you can just have a chance to present it to you when we're doing this strategic plan. But that's exactly the approach that we've utilized. And we would like guidance from yourselves to say, if this is the baseline, is this target unrealistic? Is this target really not making much of an effort? You know, that kind of thing. So, you know, you should try to improve the target. Which comes to the question that Dr. Lutuli has raised around some of our targets being unrealistic. I think you've given the example of 50%. What we would also like is guidance from yourself. Because it also relates to the issue that has been raised around whether it's the same hemp battery. Because, again, we don't want to be unambitious. And then sometimes it's just morally correct, not morally, you have to do it. You have to have certain targets where, you know, even though it may seem to be too high, but we just can't not have it. So, for example, the hospital and clean hospital, you know, it's 100% target. It may need more resources, but there is no bottom line. We would not have dirty hospitals. So it's those kind of issues, but we will talk to you with the details. And then there's certain things we put down there because it's the basics. It's what's the core business of the hospital. And I can't remember exactly which slide, but I'll come back to. So Chase, just to say that it is done, and if it's not adequate, that's what we'll be interacting on. And Chase also, I mean, just to say we welcome the interaction. So from the Department of Health, a few of you thought you were being harsh, but we really see this interaction as enhancing the work of the department, and we have to do it in partnership. So, and we wouldn't see it as anything personal. I mean, it's just to make sure that we all have the same objectives of delivery. So. The other issues, Chair, that you had raised, I'll come back to it. We will answer for the provinces, because at the end we play in the stewardship and leadership role at the national level, and we want country. So the approach now is to say provinces have to do this, and those are the targets that you're taking for them. The issue, Chair, I'm just going to try and run through it, and I will just ask the Chief Directors to note which points they'll have to respond to. The stockout of ARVs and the question of the provinces being billions in the red also relates to the question that has been asked about the underspending in the document. We're actively engaging with the departments now on some of the budget crises that they are facing. And we've been also working together with the National and Provincial Treasury, where they have been problems with payments of suppliers, just to make sure that the suppliers get paid, that there isn't any stock out. also negotiating with the company. So we won't allow a situation where there's a stuff up of, like what happened in the free state. We've been actively dealing with it. And I've been also doing that personally. Even if...
Sorry, second. You know, in the Eastern Cape, I think it was the MEC or the head of development went out to say that certain companies are not coming. They said it themselves. It was not something that they said it themselves, that certain companies are not going to stay, and we thought that they were going to come to you to assist them. They said they were only to pay after April.
Thank you. Even the blood bank is not being paid by the province. And the department, the Gauteng department, sent out a letter, I've got a copy of it, asking financial institutions to be lenient to the blood bank and to give them a bigger overdraft. So just to let you know.
Just to say, and that's what I'm saying, okay, but maybe there's something we can talk about after this, because I mean, I've personally spoken to Dr. Pillay, and you know, with some of the issues, the blood bank, from we in contact with them, and we've got the age analysis of their death. So Gauteng has paid the blood bank for the 16 years, during the... So we're actively managing it, recognizing that the crises that we've gotten in several of the provinces, and trying to prioritize them. But we are trying to actively manage it. I can just ask if we can have a sort of bilateral the discussion after this. Okay, and the circular, you know, I'm aware of it, that was taken back. So because because of that, then we've intervened. I'm not saying that everything's going to be resolved, but I'm just saying that we're actually working and just making sure that. But just to say, however, we have informed all provinces, and provinces are aware that in the adjustment budget, there was money given for the comprehensive plan for HIV and AIDS. Now that's a conditional grant. And the bottom line is that if it's a conditional grant in DORA, if they do not use it for that purpose and use it for something else, or it gets absorbed into the overdraft, at the end of the financial year, if they haven't shown that they use it for example, ART, they have to, return with that money. So they can't use it for any other purposes. So that means that they have to, these informed provinces, they have to use it for HIV and AIDS. Okay. So whether it's the billions in the red, those funds that are in this table that has been spoken about have to be utilized for that purpose. Now the reason is to, and I'm dealing with the question that was asked as to the underspending, the reason is to the percentages of 79%, it looks like what's underspending, it's not underspending. It's come in the adjustment budget towards the end of the financial year, and it's still there's still payments to be made. But I'm going to ask Ms. Rennie to just talk to that, and also Dr. Ndengashe to talk to that table. The issue around alcohol, Chair, we agree fully. There's the secret, there's a lot more that needs to be done. I mean, we're also concerned about people with alcohol syndrome. And in the Northern Cape, it's a major problem. There's been regulations that we've done around counter-advertising, but on the labels, and that regulation, we gave them a period of time in order to get all the labels with the health warning list. But it's not enough. But there's no legislation that will go through this year, because we didn't put into the legislative schedule. And I can suggest that from your suggestion, Chair, I know the Minister is very keen on this. also, I think you can bring it up so we can look at what can be done jointly. Okay. The smoking regulations, the regulations have just been published. That's why I was thinking, oh boy, I'm not sure on this RIP, this reduction ignition propensity regulation, whatever it is, to reduce the. Yeah, but publish your comments, so perhaps we can still bring it to the committee to get more comments before we publish it in the final form. The Occupational Health and Safety Act, the assessments do get done. I honestly can't say how often here, but we have to comply with the Occupational Health and Safety Act with all our new buildings. So, perhaps if I can get that information, if we have done an assessment, then I can send it through. The issue around the OSD, can I just say, Chair, OSD is being implemented in all the provinces. Okay. And that was, you know, an instruction that it had to be done before December and before Christmas. And so we did it as part of our supplementary run. The issue has been, and we even went to the extent where we had said that we gave an extension of time so that people can produce the registration, certain delay any of the processes. The problem has come about in doctors saying that they some of them are getting less money than before because they've now gone into a new tax bracket. When the salaries increased and we got a new tax bracket. There were complaints about the back pay because we had to take away the scarce skills allowance and then with the new pay. And as a result, it was quite a large amount. There's some issues that with medical officers and production specialists, and with that we've indicated that we officially sorted out because it's part of the agreement that will be sorted out in April. And just to say, we've been very, very actively working together with SAMA and the other unions, committed to sorting out the problem. Because we know when transitions happen, and it concerns your salaries, that there'll be a lot of unhappiness. So we're actively working. They give us a name, we're going to check it out, we sort it out. We've brought together the provinces, the unions, everyone else. And again, personally, you know, we've been meeting with SAMA on a regular basis to sort it out. So we were a bit surprised at the announcement from the Registrars Association, because again, also personally, I've been speaking to the chair of that Registrars Association, Dr. Bashkazira. And, you know, it's because we committed to actively sorting it out. But you have seen, because I did write to SAMA to say, you know, if we're simply sorting this out, you know, what is the official position? And they've given a press conference yesterday. You've seen that they've said we're working very well together and we're committed to sorting out the problem. And we're still committed to sorting it out. That process will continue. And that isn't an... SAMA does not endorse go slow or strike. So that statement has been issued. But she just basically made the positive message. OSD is a positive thing. And we want to make sure that we get the positive consequences. We know that there will be certain mistakes that will be made on an individual basis. And we'll make sure that we will sort that out. No one will get a salary cut. Everyone will benefit from OSD, because otherwise the purpose of OSD falls away. You know, we'll just make sure that also that the communication channels, because often it's you know, somebody hasn't been communicated with properly, and then that's how all the sort of complaints start. Okay. So that's obviously linked to that was a question around the allies and how, Carol, I'm not sure, okay, because that's going to be done this year. Okay. It won't be put on. So that's what we've done. The opening of the nursing colleges, I'm going to ask Ms. Carol Nugent-Delivre to deal with that. She will inform me there is activities. We've doing an audit of the nursing colleges, and she'll give you the details around that. The combined committee between education and health and treasury is looking at the issue of production of health professionals, including doctors. Carol, if you will deal with that. Students in Cuba, there's a delegation that's going to be going there at the end of this month, the dean. Now, let me just say historically, there's been issues around complaints with students in Cuba, complaining of the conditions. And we do send regular delegations to go and check it. So if there are specific complaints, perhaps if you can refer them to us. However, I mean, what's been interesting is, and I'm not sure whether I should say it, what's been interesting is there's been two sides to the story. Because when we go to Cuba, and I've been there sort of again with some of these complaints, there's been complaints from the other side to say that our students complain too much. And in fact that they're getting a lot more money than the ordinary students in Cuba because they get paid in US dollars or something else. They're living in better accommodation and it's causing sort of unhappiness. So we need to weigh up both sides. You know, see whether the expectations are realistic, whether they're correct. And I'm not saying we don't sort out the students' problems, but we just need to listen and find out what the problem is, and if there's a problem, then we sort it out. And that's why I said if you can give us the name, we can take that when the delegation goes down. Okay. Nursing College, I just request that, you know, if we can please just give us some time so we can check. There's supposed to be accrediting Nursing College. The Nursing Council, that's their function, that's their statutory obligation. So if they're not, I don't know what they're doing. So that's, you can also talk to that, Carol. The qualifications of the hospital managers and whether it improves performance. We've got a system now of looking at those hospital managers, and this will also be part and parcel of this audit that we're doing with the DBSA in order to monitor both competencies and performance, and it's part of our core standards. So we will have all of those instruments in order to be not just assessing the individual, we're assessing the general performance of the hospital. And maybe if I can just touch on the question then of why do we need hospital managers to be trained once they something said. Now, it differs between different parts of the country. Some provinces, and the ministers sort of announced this, that's why we're doing the audit, is concerned about the qualifications of some of the managers. Other provinces, managers are highly trained. But I need to say that this particular training course is a specially designed training course in hospital management. Again, the other countries like France, like the UK, have all gone the route where they have people trained generally in management. They've got the right qualification. They've got the health experience. They've done a master's in public health, all of that. But that they needed to enhance their skills through hospital management training, which is very specific. Tailor design so it doesn't mean that all managers are hopeless, but we will have an assessment of their skills with the audit that's been done by DBSA. And personally, I believe that training always enhances even good managers. So but there would be other individuals who would really need it. the issue around unqualified audit and patient satisfaction. The patient satisfaction surveys are part and parcel of our quality improvement program. So we'll be doing that regularly. We have done other patient satisfaction surveys, but linked to that would be an ongoing complaint line, an old complaint system, so that we know, you know, when something happens immediately, that they've got the means to be able to complain to us. And then the issue around the human resource for health care.
I think it, in that part, in that question, somebody in my understanding was that somebody said our target is an unqualified audit report, which does not really help in looking after the patient. And I think this is because most of the time we're targeting an unqualified audit report that makes us to look like what is the department. But the patients who go there are not looking at the unqualified audit report, but their assessment is that we're being intended at the hospital. I think that's the survey.
Maybe I'll
ask
I suppose too, the assumption is that you get an unqualified audit, you're properly managing your province and your hospital, and therefore you properly manage the patient.
This is the problem, so the patients are not saying that.
Yes, look, Che, and from a manager's point of view, the financial management audit then is extremely important, you know, because otherwise we get closed by scumbag. It is important. And I think the question you're asking is that does it sometimes take up too much of your attention that you forget some of the other things or divert too many resources? But so properly managed hospital has to have all of them.
Let me quote something. Do you know why I was fired from this hospital and everything? The reason why I was fired is I started. Now I'm not going to touch COPO or IDO. You know, the reason why, one of the things that I used to say was that the Department of Health is not a Department of Finance, neither a Department of Public Service Administration. The indices, what you are going to be judged on, is the health outcome. But it does not mean that you don't manage properly, but the health outcomes where your patients are going to get out that life satisfied. And that's what we're fighting for, because I was saying that the people who should lead the department are the clinicians who know what it is and who understand what the outcomes are. That's what made me fight, because I was employing all the doctors and nurses and say those who don't have the qualifications and doctors.
But this is the point that I'm trying to put back. The financial policy, in any case, we know that our province is only one that has got a even the national government has got a qualified
one.
So we got to look at what is happening to our patients.
Yes, I think you'll have a very critical interaction with the minister on this issue. Because he also believes the hospital must have a health professional clinician. Because you need to understand the health issue.
I know that I'm very comfortable here.
Promote him. Yes. The issue around public-private the issue around the human resource plan and the health and welfare sector, which I will ask Nigga to leave it to deal with. The issue around PPP and the private sector, I mean, there's definitely pros and cons to PPP. You know, one of the issues has been around the contractual obligations and commitments, because it can take up quite a large portion of your budget when you contractually obliged. But the key issue, one of the key issues around PPPs, and I'm quoting Treasury here, is that you need to have effective contract management, because without the effective contract management, that's where you have the problems with the private sector making you run around in circles and making a lot of money. So that capacity has to be built. But according to the regulations of Treasury, the risk has to pass on to the private sector. Doesn't mean that some of the things that have happened now are true PPPs, and that they call it a PPP, but it isn't necessarily a true PPP in that the risk is not passed on to the private sector. So I won't comment on the universal test one. We can talk afterwards on that one.
Probably to tell us, in your experience, because there are cities, there's one in Humacao, there's one in Yerusalem, and Binalongo. How are they faring? Are they doing good? So that we can say, let's continue. Because, the question that was coming from Honorable Khanare was saying that the private sector is looking at profit. That's their concern, is the profit. Whereas government is looking at making the lives of those people better. So that creates a lot of problems. Now, can we look at this? But if you don't have information now, you don't have to. But one would have said, let's look at those that are there. Are they doing what it says? Because Mike was talking something else, saying that this is where we need to go. Dr. Khanan was saying, no, these people are looking at profit. So how do we make sure that while they're looking at profit, but they're better at the level of the people? But if you don't have the information, we can see.
Chair, can I just ask the committee's indulgence in that, it is a government priority, the development of PPPs. I wouldn't make any, my function is to implement government priorities, but what we can do is, and I don't want to do it now because I'll only be talking anecdotally, but we want to do a proper evaluation of all our PPPs. Now, the human dog one hasn't been registered as a PPP, even though in health, it hasn't been registered as a Treasury PPP. So what I'll do is we do have a unit, and we can do an evaluation, and then you can have a presentation just on PPPs and what's happening there and where we are in the process. Because we've got the Inkosi Alpha 2D1. Is registered with Treasury, and that's just on a PPP on the equipment. The issue of female condoms, I'm going to ask Dr. Ndengashe to deal with that. Okay. And the cancellation of the tender. I've spoken around the issue of alcohol abuse, Dr. Ntuli. Mr. Hussain. The issue around covering costs from perpetrators, I'm not sure whether that's our core business or whether that would be the function of police, but perhaps the committee needs to discuss it because it's quite a new kind of thing. And in World AIDS Day, Dr. Mingashi will speak about it, whether we've got the human resources to deliver. I can just say that the plans have been developed, and as officials, it's our responsibility to deliver on any announcements that the President has made. So that's the commitment we would make, and we find the means to be able to do that. Dr. Ngashi will tell you all the plans that have been developed around there, because it will be announced soon. We won't announce anything that the ministers won't announce, but the intention is to have the implementation quite soon. Now I've spoken about alcohol and the drug abuse. the issue around school health also links in with this, because one of the things we want to focus on is the youth. So the youth health strategy, school health services is, and again, you'll hear from the minister, major priority, because it's teenage pregnancy, drug abuse, it's suicide and depression, alcohol abuse, with the description of lifestyle habits, and you started that promotion of healthy lifestyle. So those are all issues that we feel we really, really need to target to you, and it fits in because with the school health policy. Okay, I've spoken about the fact that some targets just have to be high, and the issue around illegal abortions, Dr. Nshlanga, I'm sure when he comes to present here at some stage, we'll talk at length around this. But we're quite concerned around the number of people that we're trying to find out why aren't they coming to our clinic. You know, is it a stigma? Is it, you know, are they too scared? But it seems there's an active drive by a whole lot of illegal individuals who are not even qualified to target pregnant women and men. But I can't go into more detail because it's more anecdotal at this stage as to what's happening about pamphlets getting handed out. And so we're going to monitor that. Part of the problem is that the HPCSA can't do anything about those individuals because they're not registered to them as doctors. You know, because they're not doctors. So that's a problem that we'll be looking into. And Chair, I don't need to comment around the attitudes of healthcare workers. We agree with you completely. It's unacceptable for any health professional to do to a patient. You're doing a service, not the other way around. You're not doing someone a favor. So that's why we've got it there as part of our plan. And the issue around the position around the NCC, I'm not sure that I've quite got the question. What's going on? Okay, there is a whole task team working on looking at the NCC, the backlog, what's the restructuring that needs to be done. So again, if I could just ask, when that is done, then we can come and present to you. And then the issue around the patients' rights in the bucket of
healing. Sorry, just a hand, I don't know.
Finances, as I indicated, we are creating a cluster specific to deal with that, you really tighten up on the monitoring. The reduction in waiting time, check now, after that, because it's a whole area, there's a lot of work, and we don't want to do things the, you know, the same way as it's been put. There's a lot of work that's been done. We benchmark best practices. We're looking at sort of key areas, looking at partnerships with some pharmacies in order to reduce waiting times in pharmacies. For example, Johannesburg, Johannesburg Hospital, just separated the children from the adults, you know, which means focusing on, you know, and it had a huge impact. So we can give you details around some of the best practices and what we're going to do, but can I ask that when we present to you again around details of the policy initiative, that we do that? Then I've spoken to the around the issue of the CEO course. The WITS course, that both those courses are ours, so that's what we developed together with WITS. So but it's a step ladder thing. We get a diploma after year one, and the last year when you do your thesis, it's your research, it's the master's. And the primary healthcare management course, that's also where we send our managers, but we haven't been, we weren't the ones who helped develop it as such. We were the ones involved in the hospital management training course, that's why we mentioned it, as we mentioned the others. The unqualified audit was registered. The increase in patients, whether it's good or bad, we think it's good. We're hoping it improves access and that more people are using primary health care. But we haven't done any assessment as whether it's because of the increased burden of disease. So, you know, maybe that's something we can look at in the future. There has been a recruitment and retention strategy that has been drafted by the Department of Health. Been updated, and maybe Carol can talk to it. So, Member Mori, I think we can try and send it through. No, that one that has been done, I know it's been done a few years back, but we're updating and we'll get back to you on that. Then I've spoken about the allied OSCs, I've spoken about the monitoring then of hospital CEOs. We agree fundamentally with the sentiment, and that's what we've been instructed. Don't tell us how you've been doing things and do it like before. It's how you get to do things differently. And that's why it's such a focus on target. Because it doesn't matter that we've done all of these things and our life expectancy is all going down. Because the difference is the increase. So that's, we agree, fully endorse that approach to it. The pilot that you've spoken about, it's a different pilot. We had the course standards, we revised it. We just want to test whether the questionnaire works, and then it's going to be spread out. So it's not going to be just the pilot. The supervision issue, I'm going to ask the leader to deal with it. Again, I'm questioning the CEOs, the clinics. The functional integration, I mean, this is a key issue in the provincialization, but perhaps when we discuss the strategic plan, we can talk around those issues because it's incorporated there. And then I'm going to ask Dr. Mungashe to talk around this reducing HIV infection by 50% by next year. Toby? Again, then the readiness for 2010, the chair, I'm sorry, it's just that because we stuck to that topic we were given. We're very ready. We can give you a very detailed presentation and exactly where each of the problem groups are. In fact, after the Confederation Cup, the assessment done by FIFA, they singled us out in one of the better organized sectors. So we've got a couple of problems in some of the hospitals, in two of the provinces, Northwest and in Mpumalanga, but we're sorting that out. But but we're very well prepared, and we're working together with SAM and the private sector. So again, I can get the team to come and give you all the detailed presentation. It's been driven by the Deputy Minister. The issue around how we're going to improve, I think we will do a special presentation on quality. And with the mandate to change regional hospitals to districts, that can only be done by the Minister of Health, who, according to the National Health Act, has to designate hospitals. So what, and Tulani will speak about the service transformation plan. Provinces aren't developing a service transformation plan. I know exactly where the problem is in each case. I mean, Mom and Lodi is okay. So Tulani will speak about the service transformation plans and how that has to come to national, and we will designate. And then the you know, all I can say is those areas, those domains, because we know of the problems in the provinces, I mean, we put it there specifically so that as national, we can insist that minimum standards, this is what needs to be done. Cleanliness of hospitals, the staff attitudes, etc. So, Chief, can you ask the team then? I think I've covered everybody's question.
Yes. Can we agree, members, that let's be looking at quarter past one to finish up? But let's give them so that you don't talk like politicians, just to show the point. Don't talk like politicians.
Thank you, sir. One short question is that the under expenditure that is implied in that spreadsheet is not actually an under expenditure. If you look at it, their excellency, whatever percentage, but that was at the end of December last year. And the target is, if everything is equal, there should have been at 75%. So most of them are actually on target and above, except for two provinces which are at 74%. Thank you, Chair. So it's not an under expenditure.
Politician. No, thank you, Chair, and honorable members. I'm going to speak about five questions that I need to answer, and they're related to HIV and AIDS. I think my colleague has spoken on the budget allocation. It is true that it is not an annual expenditure. It is, I think most of them are online. One quick question is that the DORA law requires that object-specific Schedule 5 funding on conditional grants be very actually ring-fast. But what has happened, and one of the challenges we've noticed in terms of why payments are made and are actually being delayed, is that provinces, in many instances, they run out of funds, so the actual budget levels, they're actually in the negative. So they're not able to generate money, but that conversation is taking place with the provinces to make them aware, as the DG has said, so that these monies are actually dedicated and actually spent for the purpose that they were meant for. In relation to the condoms, I think two questions is that I think it's true that we do know that by definition the current condom, which is FC1, is actually quite noisy, and that has been reported, and we know that there is a new condom that's being designed by the manufacturers called FC2, which probably will create a much more better condom than currently it is. The second point that was raised was that by honourable member about whether people have been trained about using condom. It's true that the female condom compared to the male condom is actually quite bulky and it's very difficult to put in. And if you really see it, it's like a big cup with two poles on two ends, so it's quite difficult to put in. The male condom is still one of the most efficient used condom, but I think the general point from the department is to try and improve the availability of female condoms as part of the empowerment of women, making sure that that's really available. Currently, we have planned to have about 4.5 million female condoms being distributed. Currently, we are about 3.2. And in relation to the tender on the condoms, yes, there was a female tender which was online. That tender was subsequently had to be cancelled.
due to a number of, which was really a directive from the National Treasury, that there were some technical components that were not fully satisfied in relation to the condom. Very quickly, that the new condoms that we have specified from National Department of Health had a number of new specifications. These specifications, our SABF had not actually been able to incorporate them into their system. So there was really a problem in terms of the testing, and subsequently the tender had to be cancelled. But that has not created a problem of delivery, because we were actually advised that we can buy actually outside tender. We are procuring condoms as needed, and we're also making preparation for the 2010. The issues around ARP sites and readiness, and I think it's true that, like the acting DG has said, is that we are in terms of the old accreditation process. That accreditation process is no longer policy of government. Sites now are actually being devolved to provinces to designate sites, and the minister has made it that all the 4,300 primary healthcare facilities actually must be able to be empowered to provide the at least the testing and being supported to initiate treatment. And so part of the issue around that is to make sure that more sites are actually being available to actually provide services. Issue around the presidential announcement for the World AIDS Day, I can actually state that the minister will probably be making an announcement very soon in March. I don't know the date, the minister knows. And two, that the minister has actually set a very tight, what you call a military precision process to actually make sure that we're ready. In terms of that process, there are really two major components. There's one component which really makes sure that people are aware about the testing and the campaign as it was announced. The second component is just to make sure that people who are designated by the president, pregnant women who are HIV positive with 54 count less than 350, TB people with TB, HIV and AIDS with 34 less than 350, children who are born to mothers exposed and who have a PCR positive, they are actually provided services as of 1st of April. We have taken a very kind of an elaborate system to make sure that both our Department of Health and our provinces and our partners were being ready. Those announcements will be made by the ministers, and I think we'll probably be quite happy to come back to the committee to give them the details thereof, but we can't take the final from the minister. In relation to the, I think I just need to also add to that is that the National Treasury in last year, our budget was increased by 900 million, as you can see in that spreadsheet. There were subsequent increases over the baseline of 1.7 million for the current year, 2010-11, and then to another additional increase of about 2.8 billion for the 2011-12 and 3.9 billion for the 2012-13. All these additional funds were actually meant to cover all the patients that the president has designated as additional to the services. These monies were over and above the baseline of what we actually provided. So there's sufficient funds that actually been covered in relation to that. The last question which I have to answer was really the prevention strategy. Now, our prevention strategy is emanate from what is called the National Strategic Plan, which actually had made a commitment that we would reduce new infections by 50% by 2011. The IAB with this specific intervention, National Department have actually re-looked at the way how we actually preparing both for the strategy of prevention, and we've looked at a number of very key sort of evidence-based interventions that can make a difference. And these interventions, we think probably by 2011, we're unlikely to reach 50%, but probably beyond by 2013 and 14. Now, just to answer to the chairperson's question, what is the current new infection rates now? We have about 1.2% of the total new infections per year. That translates between about 500 to 1.3 million people actually getting a new infection by year. That depends really on the facility, on the areas where they are. And our expectation is that we should really reduce that to a rate of new infection of about 0.6%. There are a number of very key strategies. One of the key strategies of the department is really a strategy that targets the young people, the youth, especially 15 to 24, with very specific targeted areas. One is both the information that they get that's specific to their needs and they actually found in the areas that they were. The second strategy is what is called the HCT, which is HIV counseling and testing, which really deals with the idea of knowing your status. We understand that this will not only help people to really being able to take their responsibility as part of their, as was announced in the World AIDS Day, but it also helps people to get treatment early. I think the second strategy is that if people get early, and that's another strategy in relation to what we're trying to do, if people are early detected, they can get access to treatment. We know that over time, when people are well treated, the actual secondary infection is quite is dramatically reduced. So that's going to be part of that. And the third part about this is that we have a package of STI interventions. This is really about people coming to health facilities, being able to be tested for sexually transmitted infections, and being tested for and provided service for family planning, and being able to be tested for pregnancies. And all these really, I think from the where we sit is that many of the problems of prevention actually depends on the members here. Issues of prevention are by large driven by societal matters. So there are a lot of issues that are social determinants that actually drive prevention. Our understanding is that people get infections because of their susceptibilities and the way that they are in their societies. And last point is that the expectation is that the prevention, and the minister has made this, that the prevention is really the priorities of government. Treatment is really supplementary, and our expectation is that over a period of time, people will come to treatment early, and then over time, not only people are getting treatment early, they will actually be able to be getting out of hospitals and actually prevent secondary infection. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, ma'am. I don't know who's going to follow, but I thought I was going to mention the circumcision. No. But don't worry. Let's move on.
Chair, a circumcision, there are two parts to it. It is policy of government in two ways. One, there is an understanding that circumcision has got two components. There is the traditional circumcision, which needs to be respected. At the plenary, this decision was made that to all intents and purposes, we should actually respect the old traditional circumcision, but National Department of Health must provide medical circumcision as part of healthcare facilities. The minister will probably might make some announcement as to how we're taking this forward, but I think there are also preparations in relation to where we're going. We know that at some stage we might have to come and give you the details thereof, but we're just going to be holding until the minister makes the announcement where it is. There are a lot of preparation in terms of auditing of facilities, trying to cause what is going to cause, and actually prioritizing which provinces they should actually take the lead on the medical male circumcision. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. As long as you remember that one has got to intervene on the traditional circumcision, because I think that's where we've got a lot of problems. If you go to Lesotho, it's a tradition that has remained close to circumcision, but HIV is a problem there. And I think the problem is the technique of how they are doing it. And that is the problem, even in the Eastern Cape, where it's like the way they do it. Not like the medical way that you need, as long as you consider that.
Chair, my note was short on, it was about the transportation of hospitals. Indeed, as Dr. Chet has pointed out, in Section 35 of the National Health Act, as well as the definition section, so the national minister has the authority to classify any health facility, be it primary, district, regional, or a tertiary health facility. And a hospital is a facility defined as such by the minister. The request we have made to provinces is that they need to produce long-term plans called service transformation plans, looking at 15 to 20 years, outlining where we are taking health services. The challenge that we are having, I think, is related to the issue that has arisen here, in that one facility is classified in a particular way, this way, and then a particular province would want to elevate or decrease the level of services provided in a particular hospital. They write to National in order to obtain approval to do that. Secondly, if it's part of a revise, it has to come to a business case, which is looked at by National before it goes to Treasury. But preferably, Chairperson would like a situation whereby the classification of facilities remains constant rather than forever changed. Thank you.
thank you very much. There's somebody else who's going to... at least what you're saying is going to help us in Paulo. Where is my constituent? But we'll discuss that some kind of time.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you. The issue relating to supervision, insofar as it deals with health workforce, supervision of the health workforce, we've been having a conversation with the Statutory Professional Council relating to their scopes of practice and the supervision requirements for those. We have been also collaborating with the Office of Standards Compliance on the tool for quality standards at facilities, and there's a supervision element in that as well. Thirdly, with the Professional Council, we are asking all new mid-level worker categories that are established to very, very explicitly spell out the supervision requirements aligned to them, so that it's not just a case of responding to shortages by creating mid-level worker categories, but also how those are implemented and in practice how supervision happens at facility level. So it's a many-pronged approach. That's the one issue. The second point relating to the HRH retention strategy for the health workforce, I'm going to split it into two. The one is there is a retention strategy for the Department of Health, as in Corner Church and Prince Hill, that's the one. But for the health system, we are looking at a multitude of the interventions as addressing different aspects of retention, recruitment, development, particularly in relation to conditions, improving conditions that we've spoken about earlier, quality issues, and management and leadership of facilities, because we find that those are the things that really do affect how a lot of health professionals feel about their work. But also remuneration issues, for instance, the OSD, which is it is positive in that we are seeing that people are opting out. This is anecdotal. Again, we've set up a project where we want to assess the success or not, as the case may be, of the OSD. But basically we see that we see it as a success in this case, particularly in terms of nurses. We're setting up a monitoring and evaluation framework for that. The third thing is just a point about, I know that the DG spoke about boosting health professional production, or production of health professionals with the National Treasury and the Department of Education, where we've actually been able to, there's been 800 million rand over and above the existing allocation to clinical training institutions in the higher education sector for strengthening clinical training based on business plans, and effectively it's like a conditional grant to the Ministry of Higher Education and Training for that particular, for building capacity and assets related to clinical training over the MTF to the current financial year. I'm not going to, just for reasons of time, bring other things related to that. We're also in discussion with the College of Medicine South Africa and others relating to research and building capacity for research, particularly in the health profession. There was a question about the role of the HWCTA. And in our conversations with, I just wanted to again report to this committee, in our conversations with the Ministry of Higher Education and Training, but also the SAQWA and other bodies, and the CHE, we recognize the need for diversity of education and training, but for health professionals particularly, there is a limit to what the CETAs will be able to do, particularly in terms of the rigor of the requirements for clinical training, especially. So that is something that we feel would be is best placed, as the parties concerned, is best placed within the education and training sphere, and especially relating to pre-set training, pre-service training. Nursing and production. We have been working a lot on the planning aspects and the empirical evidence for revitalizing the nursing sector. And the DG spoke about the audit that is currently underway for assessing just what kind of capacity in its broadest sense for training, education and training, and what kinds of assets there are at public and private colleges that may be mobilized in terms of the expansion of production. We have also been speaking to the CHE and Iman Lucy about accreditation of nursing programs, because that's something that is related to the levels of those programs on the National Qualification Framework. So we were speaking to them about how we can work with the South African Nursing Council on strengthening those accreditation the accreditation processes within the Nursing Council.
Sorry.
Yes, that's it. I think that I'm covered. Thank you. No, that's
fine. Are you in the process of working with them? Remember, the doctors, I'm sure, just a few seconds ago, there were 10 minutes. I think the separate memo for the
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me apologize for coming late. We are already adopting others reporting another committee. My questions are already answered, but what I want to say is slide number 15 through number 18. 15 to 16. That is the thing that we really want to see on the ground, DG. And I hope, I'm happy because you have made, you have time frames, 2010-2011. I think when we get there, in our constituency, we are not going to get that thing. I just wanted to know, how do you implement this through the province, through the ground? Because we are sitting here talking, but when you get to the ground, you receive something which is not done correctly there. So the other thing is this thing of measles outbreak. Are you waiting for the outbreak to come so that you go for campaigns, or is there any mechanism that you can use to prevent outbreak and go to, if the one province have outbreak, how do you do to other provinces to prevent that? And then I hear you are saying you are ready for 2010. For 2010, I think we will ask the chairperson to give us the chance so that you come with a detailed report and we go through it. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much. By the way, we are planning going and visiting these places, the 2010 areas as a committee. We'll be going there. It would be nice if when we go there we could have some documentation as to what is going on. I see memoir Mike Matube and Makenya. That will be the four, and then we'll call it a day.
Mm.
Okay, memoir.
I just want to add to what my colleague has said about page 15 and 16. We want the house matter because we know it's there. How are they going to do that? People are no longer doing what they are doing. The house matter, that's all.
Thank you. So it's memoir, then Mike, and then Makenya will be the last one.
Okay, mine is only simple. On the OSG for Allied, can you tell us the specific in terms of at least the month? Thanks.
Chair, the issue of the Nursing Council accrediting training institutions wasn't answered. And in fact, there's a contradiction between what they informed this committee and the reply to Apollo integration that got lost to that needs to be answered to. And then the other issue that wasn't raised, and I left it for other members to raise, was national health insurance. We see that the document talks about the implementation of NHI, but yet there's no costing on it. How do we know if it's feasible or affordable or sustainable, and when will we get a costing on the NHI? Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm not sure, Mike, if you would agree with this, but when we met the nursing council, I think somebody just came from the department, but they were not very filled up with what we were asking. So maybe what we need to ask the department, the nursing council, to come again with the department now, knowing who's going to be there, because they couldn't answer some of the questions, those people, but the department was virtually not there, though there was somebody who came up. So we would request that you, I think we would request that.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is also, I've got only one question, but in a follow-up. The follow-up is that when I'm talking about the patient's life, vice versa, I was concerned about when the amalgamation was done, patients now, the departments have to be moved from one hospital to another. As a result, like, for example, orthopedic patient is supposed to come for a checkup. Now, there is no orthopedic. The orthopedic himself gone without any information. Then the patient said, no, but I wasn't told that I'm supposed to go to Frey, because I know that the orthopedic is at Makiwane. So those kind of things, that for investigate, so that you may not follow up, so that they don't happen next time. And also, my question is on the new qualification project. You say that two per province are the pilots. If you can just tell us which hospital in this province, so that because we will write there in those provinces, want to know so that we can visit one time the pilot, those new pilot projects in those two provinces, those two hospitals in the province, so that we can go there when we've got time.
Thank you. You are the last one. So, Department, if you could just add one small piece. In that 2010, we are talking to the Department of Healthcare. In the 2010, when we are preparing for emergencies or disasters that might happen, talking to the Department of Health, there might be chemical warfare. How prepared are you for things like chemical warfare, if it can happen?
Can I just ask Carol to just please receive the nursing council issue? I apologize for not doing that earlier.
By the way, the whole department, you've got 5 minutes.
Very quickly. My understanding of the accreditation issue is that they're no longer, the nursing council has not been accrediting private providers for the 4-year qualification. However, they have been accrediting providers for other qualifications that are not 4 years, the 4-year qualification. That's my understanding of the issue relating to differences in accreditation of for different programs. I think that's great.
Are you agreeing to be in the position that we're inviting this Okay, Nessa.
Yes, the issue around how do we implement all those issues around patients' rights and quality, can I recommend that when we do the detailed presentation on Office of Standards Compliance and the accreditation, we'll deal with that. The issue around measles outbreak, to say we don't want to have any cleanup operations, because what we should have is a very good and high measles coverage, for the whole number of years, then we won't get outbreaks. But this mop-up is because of the fact that they may break down, and we've got sort of problems there. 2010 site visits, Chair, again, we'll do a detailed presentation to you, and there you will see we've got very robust plans around biological warfare, bioterrorism, anything, any disaster management. Every single stadium has been designated. We've got where the pool area is, so you throw people in if they're covered in chemicals or whatever it is. So we've got all of those plans, Jay. And we're working with SAM and disaster management on our disaster management plan. We'll give you details. The OSD for allies, can I request that I get the information, I don't have it offhand, and you'll send it through. NHI, when we say that we'll put it out for consultation, that will include the full comprehensive proposal. So maybe if you can just wait for that. I can't give you any details now. And we noted the patient's rights, and can I just also request which hospital? We're still in that process, and I think the minister wants to announce this in a special speech. So we can just we will give it to you, but as soon as it's become official. Thank you, Chair.
No, I think it's just
Thank you. Oh, you wanted to say something? One other thing that you should have addressed, Gigi, when you're talking about the attitudes and the quality of care and the waiting time, I think it needs to go with the referral system. And in fact, some of us have always thought that these tertiary quaternary hospitals, they need to belong to the National Department of Health, not to the provinces, because that's creating a lot of problems. But it's something that you would consider. Thank you very much, members. Thank you very much, Department. I know that we wanted you to do a particular thing, but I don't think personally that you did what we wanted you to do. But be it that may, we're hoping that when we meet you next time, we'll be able to move together, and I think this communication, we need to do it quite often where we understand what is wanted. If you don't understand what we want, then you can contact us so that we can talk about it. There was something that we wanted about the percentage on infections, that there was H1N1, and I'm sure this is going to be another virus, and the other, there's going to be another. We want to know how to deal with those, but that was not answered here. And these are the things that we say probably we need to make sure that we work together. And we need, I still repeat this now, that we need to understand where are we with health. Because we are all complaining that health services are not very good, but we need to know how bad are they, so that we can know whether we're moving up or we're moving down. And that needs to be done. Members, I'm told that we must remind you about tomorrow's meeting all the ex-presidents. So it's at 8:30, and it's going to be that V227. So we expect to be there in time. Even Grace is going to be there, though it's going to be a doctor, but it's just going to be an hour. So thank you very much, Department. Thank you very much, members. We'll meet tomorrow at 8:30, V227. Thank you very much. I'm going to go to the next one.